Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Today's Sunday session is brought to you thanks to the fine folks at More Beer. Visit them right now at morebeer.com.
Feels like work. Shooting the shit for 2 hours, drinking beer, and talking beer. What a wonderful experience.
Can we not have the barf bucket near my mixing board?
I think everybody could read the book.
I knew you were going to use this book as an excuse to quit doing this show.
Mrs. Buff, if you want, I can mail you the bub timer.
Yeah, Newcastle. Especially in the can. Have you ever had it in the can? No, I have not had it in the can.
Notice I closed my eyes and I concentrated really hard.
Now, live from the Brewing Network Studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Session. I'm your host, Justin Crosley. Joined today on time by Jason J.P. Petros.
That's right. In fact, you were the tardy one this time.
I was?
At 6:03.
Beardy's here, of course.
Of course.
Bevo's around somewhere.
Totally here.
And Ask and You Shall Receive, our newest co-host of the female gender. Teresa, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey.
That's right.
Hi. Thank you. Thanks, you guys.
Well, technically, I didn't want to tell you this off the air. It's a dress rehearsal. You're auditioning.
Why does it be a dress? Why can't it be a pantsuit?
That's quick. Well,
there's no pressure.
There's no pressure at all.
Well, I wore my name shirt in case I get a little stressed out. I can just look down and remember
who you are.
Who I am.
It helps me, too. I thought you were because you knew that I'm an idiot and would forget your name.
Well, yeah. I mean, that is a side benefit,
right?
Wearing the name shirt.
Sure. Which is also nice that you even mentioned it in case you thought I was staring at your breasts, like being our newest co-host. And I'm like, she's like, Justin just keeps staring at my breast the whole time. And I'm like, no, I'm just clearly reading your name, Teresa.
Yeah, but
over
honestly,
and over.
There's really
again.
Nothing to see there anyway. So.
Teresa Sudi is from Crooked Lane Brewing Company. You might remember her from an episode a little while back. I was not on the show. JP was at the helm then.
That's right.
And so everybody loved you on the show, and I haven't even listened to it, to be honest with you. But I got a lot of good feedback about your appearance and your chops on the air. And then, of course, you showed some interest in coming to help out and do the show, which I thought was really very nice of you.
Yeah, I have such a fun time listening to you guys. So to be part of this is like, I was just telling these guys, it's like a little thing is happening for my bucket list.
Ah,
I'm
cool.
Still so young and spry, so it's really exciting.
That'll go away very quickly.
Especially in this studio. People in this studio have a tendency to contract terminal illnesses. So
okay, well, yeah. So I'll just start bringing in bringing in the probiotics or something.
Do that.
Whatever you need to do.
Do that.
Do that, yes.
I mean, don't worry. You're much more likely to get a bad attitude before you get a terminal illness.
I'm good there. I definitely have a bad attitude.
Yeah.
I hide it really well.
Beardy is the only one I feel like has been immune to the bad attitude that the Brewing Network brings along.
No, he just hides it.
I see.
It's under the beard.
Yeah. Warren is very, like, three-faced.
Yeah. Well, you have a bad attitude when it comes to beer, I guess. Not when it comes to, like, life in general.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, life happens.
You're a dick about beer.
Well, beer is important. Life not.
Right.
So. That's true. You get reincarnated anyway, so who cares?
Right. I'll probably be a bird next time.
Yeah.
I don't have a bad attitude about life.
Or a burden.
No, you don't. You're good.
I'm pretty good.
You have a pretty good attitude.
I guess.
You have a bad attitude about work sometimes.
Whatever.
Yeah. Real quick, speaking of great attitudes, I want to thank our sponsor, More Beer, who's bringing you this session and every session. More Beer wants to change your malt game with Viking Malt. Hailing from Northern Europe, Viking Malt is a family-owned malt house since 1883 and is the largest specialty malt producer in the world. Their base malts are malted from null-lox varietals that don't contain the enzyme lipoxygenase, which leads to trans-2-nonanol in beer, which is responsible for those stale cardboard flavors. So head over to morebeer.com and brew with ingredients from the future. Okay. Well, how's it living up for you so far, Teresa? Now that we're 2 minutes in, I just want to see how you're doing over there.
Yeah, I'm still living the dream.
Okay.
And, you know, I have great expectations for this episode, Justin, so you better not let me down.
Oh, shit.
I won't. I'm excited about this episode, too. We have a lot going on. Bearlick Brewing Company from Portland, Oregon has come all the way down to be in studio with us today.
Just to hang out with Teresa.
Exactly. Clearly, they got the word. Ahead of time. So I'm excited to have them on the program, and they brought us a whole bunch of good beer to try, too. Well, they brought us a whole bunch of beer. I don't know if it's good yet.
We'll find out.
We will. They've won some awards, though. They've done pretty well up there in Portland. So we're going to learn all about them. They also have a weird affinity for denim vests.
Oh, so yeah, how bad can the beer be?
Their denim vest game is really strong.
I'm really
looking forward to hearing more about that.
How close to Portland are they?
They're in two parts of it.
Oh, yeah. Well, then that explains a lot.
Southeast and northeast side.
Right.
And one of their denim vests, though, I noticed, you can see it on our website right now, which is thebrewingnetwork.com, has a tasty patch on it, too. So I thought that was cool.
Did patches also?
Oh, you're going to see. They're wearing their jackets today, and you can see them. Vests, forgive me, on the website, and yes, they're patched. They're very patched.
Are you saying you don't actually have a tasty patch?
I don't think so.
Because I totally have a tasty patch.
Oh,
that you've sewn
to
something.
I'm not trying to one up you, Warren, but really,
he never liked me, so
I'm feeling pretty proud of myself right now.
Where is your tasty patch?
It's at home in my drawer because I haven't found the appropriate garment to stick it to.
Got it. Okay.
Next week I'll have my tasty patch.
Teresa's trying to get the street cred, but without the actual follow through.
Yes. Well, you know, that can happen.
Oh, yeah. Mine's in a drawer also.
Take some notes.
Mine,
here.
Too.
Yeah.
I actually had mine tattooed on my spleen.
Here we go.
Smart.
Yeah.
I'm just going to make some notes about your appearance today, Teresa.
You know, we should have made a BJCP sheet.
There we go.
That's in the pro column.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Overall, your appearance was very good with some flaws.
By next week, you might be rocking a denim vest. We'll see how you like the fashion statement.
You know, honestly, a denim vest would be their appropriate garment to put the tasty badge on, too. So,
you know,
I've got my homework. I got the beyond marching orders.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So we'll be talking to Bearlick Brewing Company today. That'll be exciting. Also, I heard that we are going to get an appearance from Roger Davis later on in the program. He's going to come on. He's talking about the Brewbies Festival that Faction is hosting.
Nice.
To raise money for breast cancer research.
Right.
So we'll be talking to the folks from Brewbies, including Roger, later on. So that ought to be fun.
It ought to be. we'll
see.
Know how that goes.
Yeah.
Well, Roger, I thought this would have been fun. Maybe we can try again.
Yeah. I didn't even know he was coming until his distributor or his salesperson, who I know, was in the Hop Grenade and was like, oh, yeah, I'm here because, you know, Roger's going to be on the show later. He is?
Yeah, great.
In person, even.
Yeah, I just had to come through. Yeah, Work World's having a sale on Black Sox, so I decided to come through. I was going to be here anyway.
Yeah. All right, so you can look forward to that appearance later on in the show as well.
You can.
If you have nothing better to do.
Yeah, now who has a shitty attitude? Yeah, about work.
All right, let's get through some announcements. Announcements are brought to you today by Drake's Brewing Company. Go to drinkdrakes.com. And the 7th Annual Session Beer Fest is coming up Saturday, May 25th. It's from 1 to 5 down in Jack London Square. Pre-sale tickets are just $35. And if they don't sell out, I guess they're going to sell them at the door for $40, but you got until the 24th, the day before, to get your $35 tickets. Go over to drinkdrakes.com. You'll see the Session Fest logo right there. You can click on it. It's a great festival, and you know, a lot of world-class session beers.
Yeah, I even poured beer there once.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, from that brewery you used to work at?
Yeah.
Someone else's beer, but...
I was a part of making it. We did a collaboration with Freewheel that we released there. Pilsner, cask-conditioned, and force-carbonated, same recipe.
Oh.
And we were side-by-side, and people were really getting to enjoy tasting the beers side-by-side. I wouldn't have guessed they were the same beer. They were that different, just the conditioning process.
Okay. That's cool.
And they have their like, mobile beer engine, which was super cool.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, so a lot of breweries do some special stuff for this fest, so it's definitely worth going out.
Yeah, go check it out. It's actually a free event, and it's family-friendly, so you can bring the kids, you can go hang out in Jack London Square. But if you want to do the tasting, it's just $35. Get your tickets in advance, and you'll save yourself a little bit of cash. All right. What do I have any announcements for you today? Our 14th anniversary party is coming up in June.
There we go, baby.
BNA 14, save the date. It's Saturday, June 29th in Providence, Rhode Island. And we're throwing a big bash in partnership with Melvin Brewing and More Beer. We're going to announce the winner of the Boyle Rumble homebrew competition that we did. And it's a giant music venue. We're going to party. Knowing the Melvin guys, there'll probably be like some ninja kung fu stuff involved. They do weird ninja.
They're way into ninjas. Damn, bro.
Way into ninjas. And wrestling. And WWF wrestling. I'm not saying that.
I think you mean WWE, but that's fine.
Is that what it is now?
Yeah, because they change it because the World Wildlife Foundation. That'd be great.
Is that the reason?
Yeah, that's why they changed it.
How many years did it take for that, though?
Yeah. It was a long time ago they changed it.
Right. Huh. But most of my life it's been WWF. Are you saying the Wildlife Foundation, like, just heard about them?
I don't know. This was, I want to say it was like 15 years ago that they changed
it. I think you just imprinted on WWF because, yeah, that's it's been WWE for a long time, but I always think in my mind, like, panda wrestling.
Yeah.
WWF would be like pandas.
Oh. They should,
how great would that be? They're going to do a fundraiser for World Wrestling Federation.
I think they should do WWF.
Like, oh. Yes. Then PETA would get involved, and it would be a whole other thing.
Am I just that old that WWF is... Teresa, are you saying that WWF does not speak wrestling to you?
It totally does.
Oh,
that's the
okay.
thing. I am with you.
Okay.
I imprinted on WWF, and I've called it that forever, but it's also been WWE forever.
Guess the year. Guess
how long.
So
we're resistant to change.
5 years.
2002, bro. May 5th, 2002.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that when The Rock was still young and actually wrestling?
Right.
Oh.
Right.
Maybe.
Because I stopped paying attention when it was like Steve Austin, and I think he was before that.
I don't know, man.
He's the only one to escape the WWE.
Oh,
world.
Yeah, The Rock?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you got Hulk Hogan, but
well,
I guess
Hulk
he's still
Hogan
in it.
Persists.
He's
yeah.
still in it.
Yeah, but I mean, The Rock, like...
He's an actual legitimate, like, person now.
Success, like, you know.
Yeah.
He's beautiful.
I know, Beardy. I like him, too.
Yeah.
Oh, that was Bevo, sorry.
Yeah, same thing.
I mean, I wasn't going to disagree.
They all have the same attitude.
Zest for life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The same shitty attitude.
Yeah.
What, happy? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that one.
Fucking miserable.
That's the one.
27-inch pythons.
All right, save the date. Saturday, June 29th. The Rock is going to be there,
hear. Oh, shit. No, A-Rock. He's different.
I'm trying to get tickets on sale for you, but I got to finish up some details. So I want to make sure I price them right. We had to, like... That's a whole thing. But I'll get up tickets as soon as I can. So just save the date. Hey, if you're in Northern Colorado, our Hop Grenade location in Fort Collins is hosting our first ever Colorado Beer Derby. That's this Saturday, May 3rd. All you can drink and eat for $45. We've got 20 seasonal beers that are going to be on tap. And you get to pick. There's going to be a People's Choice Award for the Colorado Beer Derby winner. And I've invited some local public from Fort Collins to come in and do an official judging of all the beer. So we're going to give away our first award for the Colorado Beer Derby.
All right.
So come out this Saturday, May 3rd. I will be there hanging out. It's $45. You can get tickets on Eventbrite. Just go over to hopgrenade.com and you can figure out how to do that or just come in and buy your tickets then. All right. Do your Amazon shopping through our website. You click on the Amazon link and then just go on about your business. It's a great way to support the Brewing Network. If you live in the United States, that is. We canceled all the other ones, yeah. I think.
If you don't, it's not a great.
It's not a great way to do it.
Move to the United States.
We're full. You didn't hear that?
Oh, sorry.
Duh.
Another great way to support us is to get your American Homebrewers Association membership through our website. You can click on the AHA link. It's over there on the left side of the website and get yourself a membership. It's a great thing to do for you and the hobby of homebrewing. Also, HomebrewCon is coming up, you know, and early registration ends on May 1st. So you've got, what, a day left to save yourself $35. Early registration ends on May 1st, and the price goes up $35. So go over to homebrewersassociation.org and get your membership, or go to homebrewcon.org and buy your tickets. Okay, what else? We got some new shows, Hop and Brew School. That's a new fun one. Heads and Tails.
Also show. A new fun one.
It's a one.
It's neither new nor fun.
Right.
It exists.
We still do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We still need a guest for April. So if you're a distiller.
Yeah. We're ready to go.
Yeah.
We have tomorrow open.
Yeah.
You haven't done a show for April?
We have two for May.
I'm not going to speak 100% for Beardy, but I've sent out emails and I get no response. Beardy gets emails, but the responses are, well, it has to be during the day because I don't work at night. Which is very,
makes sense.
Which is
valid.
I guess, but it's a very stark difference between talking to brewers,
right,
versus distillers.
I see.
It's just very weird. Like, who doesn't? You can't be interviewed for 45 minutes at 6:30 at night. That's impossible. Okay.
Yeah. Apparently, once you get outside the brewing world, people actually care about their work-life balance.
I see.
And want to enjoy their life outside of work, unlike brewers.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I think it could have something to do with being retired. Like, I think there's a number of distillers that I've encountered that are people of retirement age, and they don't want to work like really, really hard.
Oh, so it's like second life, you mean? Like they've taken on this extra profession in retirement.
Exactly. So it's like they cannot be bothered with like missing their Law and Order. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Get a DVR. They're too old to learn how to work a DVR also.
You can't program the clock.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It just flashes.
True.
So I don't know. We're struggling.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if anybody out there.
Is out there.
Oh, speaking of anybody out there, if anybody works for Amazon, like on a level that's not like in the warehouse, send me an email, justin@thebrewingnetwork.com. I got a question for you. That works sometimes. You believe that?
Huh.
Anytime I've ever, like, I needed help with Google once, Google.
Really?
Google.
Wow. Dude, that's pretty sweet.
Calls me up, sorted me out.
Nice.
So if anyone works for Amazon, I was working on a new thing for the BN, and I need a little help with it.
You want free Prime membership?
No, yeah. That's, really, I just want free Prime. No, it's rather important. So just in case you've got anybody out there who has any pull or any knowledge in the Amazon world, shoot me an email, justin@thebrewingnetwork.com. All right. Get updates and information over on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Send your feedback to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com. I'm excited about this week's feedback segment. Some good stuff in there.
Some good stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. Some feedback?
Yeah.
All right, but before that, do we have a Twitter game?
We do.
Great. Twitter game is brought to you today by the 21st Amendment, and they're having a kickoff to summer event Friday, May 17th from 6 to 8 p.m. It's at their San Francisco pub and the San Leandro Tap Room. You can join them as they do their annual kickoff to summer. They're going to be dropping watermelons off the roof.
Wow.
Sending up beer cans as pins for watermelon bowling. and other things like drinking beer.
Yeah, I would imagine that's primary.
Yeah.
Serving the watermelon beers.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, bro.
Go to their kickoff to summer event Friday, May 17th. You can learn more about it over at 21st-amendment.com.
I finally got the Sparkle Ale. By the way,
you tried it.
Yeah, well, I had to go buy it myself, which I'm highly offended. I had to spend my own human dollars on it.
Right.
To support a friend.
It was really good.
Yeah.
I was very surprised. I had no idea what it was going to be. I thought, this is probably going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very delicious.
Mm-hmm.
It's
delicious.
A glitter beer?
No. It okay. tastes
that
sort of like
been amazing.
A cider.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, yeah. No, it tastes sort of like a cider. It's like a rosé cider beer kind of thing. It's this weird, I don't know. I don't even actually know what's in it. But like, it was pretty delicious.
It's kind of a beer, kind of a cider.
Yeah, it is the rosé like wine of beers.
Like a beer cooler.
Yeah, yeah. 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 But more on the cider side. It was delicious.
Let's see. Here's how they describe it. It's essentially a hybrid between a cider and a beer, brewed with apple cider juice and grain-based sugar, then back-sweetened with peach, cranberry, and cherry juice.
Whoa.
So
no barley ingredients?
Well,
grain sugar.
Grain-based sugar.
Grain-based sugar, so.
Like powder.
DME.
Yeah, right. That's kind of what I think.
Okay.
Well, that actually sounds pretty good.
It's good.
It's good.
Yeah.
I liked it. All right. What's our Twitter game today?
Well, you know, depending on how relevant this is right now, the Mueller report is out. You guys heard about this? The Mueller report. We're getting political right now.
Yeah.
Right? The Mueller report.
Redacted. Can we actually read it?
Well, I can.
Oh, you can.
I
read a great joke from Samantha Bee that she did about the Mueller report. She's a comedian on. She used to be on The Daily Show. What was it like? Oh yeah, that the Mueller report was so redacted with so much black ink that Trump has ordered. I'm so terrible at this. That Trump ordered an investigation into its birth certificate.
There you go. Ha, 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 ha. Great delivery.
Remember when I said I was going to try stand up?
Yeah.
I can't even repeat other people's jokes. All right, go ahead.
Now who has a bad attitude? Now that the Mueller report is out, we know the full extent of Moscow's involvement in destabilizing the Sour Hour.
Aha. Uh-huh.
How can we, the people, correct this travesty?
Okay. So how do we save the Sour Hour? Is that basically?
I mean, look, I'm just saying that.
Read it again.
Now that the Mueller report is out, we know the full extent of Moscow's involvement in destabilizing the Sour Hour. How can we, the people, correct this travesty?
Okay.
Hmm.
Okay.
See, it's a fun play on words, right?
Yeah.
Like Moscow, the country, or the city, but also Moscow on the staff. Works on the Sour Hour.
I didn't put that together.
Yeah, yeah. And how people complain about how he ruins the Sour Hour.
Right, right. That
that's
I got.
Joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's the joke.
Now I see. It's a heady one. It's a little above my head.
Well,
it's a thinking man's Twitter game.
Well, look, when I was reading The Economist, the idea came to me.
Right.
And then I had to, when I was reading The New York Times, doing the crossword, it came to me again. And when those two things happened together,
you came up with this.
Yeah, yeah. I was also trying to make out with my sister, that happens too.
Right.
Yeah.
All makes sense to me now.
Thanks, man.
All right, that's our Twitter game brought to you today by the 21st Amendment.
Yeah.
Okay, how about some feedback?
Sure.
Feedback is brought to you today by the Beer Law Center. John over there at the Beer Law Center, you go to beerlawcenter.com. He's doing some work for me right now, as a matter of fact.
He did some work for me last week, as a matter of fact.
He did?
Yeah. Help me out with a trademark issue.
Okay.
Oh. Copyright issue, yeah.
Excellent, excellent.
Thought I'd jump in.
Yeah,
he's jumping into this.
He's working on mine right now, and he's also drawing up a licensing agreement because the Brewing Network is doing a collaboration with Firestone Walker.
Oh.
I will have more details for you later.
Pale 32.
Pale 29.
Wrong direction, sorry.
I will say that I'm pretty excited about it.
Okay.
I'll answer that.
All right.
Also, my logo looks fucking amazing on the bottle.
Nice.
Anyway, go to beerlawcenter.com and John can help you out too, like he's doing for me. I can't promise that he'll get you a brew gig at Firestone like we got.
Right. Mm.
But he can keep you from getting sued or whatever.
All right.
So we're going to get to go to Firestone?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Nice.
I'm waiting on the date to brew it from Matt.
Cool.
But as soon as I get that, then I'll release the full details. But it's pretty exciting stuff.
Is he doing the recipe, or are you guys doing the recipe, or are we involved in the recipe, or are we just, we're not here at all? we're not not part of the Brewing Network at all for this part.
I can't answer that question without revealing more than I'm ready to reveal.
Okay, that's fair enough. I get you.
This is the first short answer is
no.
What typically happens when I'm doing these things?
Right. Yeah. You let someone else do all the work.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
And then also inform you guys like the day before we're supposed to go.
Right.
So there you go. I'm excited about that. All right. Here's our feedback. Nate writes in.
God bless.
Hi, Ben. Longtime listener, and I hate to complain.
Oh, shit.
Do you?
But here it goes.
No, period. I'm not going to complain. I hate it.
I think when you say I hate to complain, you actually love to complain.
Right.
Nothing against you, Nate, but that's how it goes with me.
Agreed. And there's, you know, depending on where you live in the country, there are different sayings for I hate to complain. You know, like on the East Coast, so my family always used to go, not for nothing.
Oh, not for nothing.
You'd say something like, you know, not for nothing, but, you know, that shirt you're wearing today was not attractive.
I'm sorry, but.
Or in the South, you might add, bless your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, bless your heart.
Bless your heart.
I like that one.
Which is basically calling you an asshole before they call you an asshole. Okay, anyhow, here he goes. Is there any plan to fix the mobile app? It hasn't worked for a long time. It's just giving a configuration error. Listening live on my phone was my preferred method, but it's now impossible. The audio stream on the website also doesn't work. And the only option is watching the live stream video, which isn't really a phone listening option. So is it going to be just live stream and podcast now from Nate? Well, Nate, I don't have a good answer for you to that. And sometimes when I can't make a decision, I just leave things out there alone and they just sit there until I make a decision. And the mobile app is one of those things. So what happened essentially was I stopped paying the bill for our live streaming and our mobile app.
You fired them.
I fired them.
There we go.
Because we were broke at the time.
And, it's the best time to fire people.
But the other reason is that not really many people use the live streaming option and the mobile app. Mm-hmm. And it's rather expensive to keep going for a small handful of listeners.
Right.
So the reason it's all still on the website and like as if it should be functioning is that I have not like terminated the account. I just can't decide if I really want to keep paying that bill for just a couple of you. So that's the complicated answer to that question. I just don't know yet. The BN, we're kind of tightening our budget strings.
Sure. Yeah, budget strings. Those are words.
And that's one of those things where I'm just like, are we really getting a return on investment? So, Nate, I hear that it was your preferred method, but it's like you and six other people. As far as I can tell.
Yeah.
And if I were to divide the cost of that streaming between six of you, you would not be able to afford to pay me to do it. So I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do.
I think you should kill it. First
you do?
Of all. Yeah, man. I mean, especially if we're tightening our purse strings a little bit.
That's what they are called.
You know? Yeah. Look, budget strings are fine, too.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? It's fine.
You can put strings on a lot of things.
One's literal, one's figurative. It's fine.
Okay.
It's all right. But that's what I would say.
Right.
Just kill it and figure out how to use it somewhere else. Do you need it live? No. We just go.
It's just that we've always been a live show, you know. But,
but
we still are if you watch the video. But,
sure.
Yeah.
Or at least for the mobile app. I mean, I don't know.
That's the other thing about the app.
I guess you want the stream to just randomly hear a show without having to think about it, but it's got to be a way around it, right?
You know, I think there is. Actually, now that I'm thinking, I don't know why I do this on the radio, for fuck's sake. The only reason we paid a streaming provider is that we used to have so many live listeners that you couldn't use any of the free versions of streaming. But now that we don't have as many live listeners, I could probably switch over to like one of the free versions of streaming. It would not fix the app problem, but you would be able to listen through the website. So, Nate, here's your answer. I'm going to go back and look into the free things that we used to not qualify for, since there's not that many of you listening anymore, and see if that works.
There we go, Nate.
All right.
Good boy, Nate.
Thanks for working that out with me, Nate.
Yeah, Nate Smith.
Okay.
Way to go.
Yahoo writes in.
He honest to God, I know you say, like, if he doesn't leave their name, look at their email address, but their email address was S_ and then Baloofty or whatever. I'm like, okay. This is fucking Yahoo.
Yahoo. All right. He says, number one. Justin has mentioned more than once now that he's thinking of changing the opening to the session. No! It's perfect! Don't change it! I've been listening for 6 years, and I have never fast-forwarded through the opening. That's impressive.
Why?
I also love our opening. There are ulterior motives for changing that also, and I do think it's going to have to be changed here soon. But I'm hanging on to it, too, because I also love it. But, yeah, for other reasons that I cannot explain on the air.
Wow, you're full of secrets and mystery.
I know.
Whimsical wonder and secrets of the world.
Yeah. So anyway, it's probably going to change soon. All right. Number two, on the Swan Brewing episode, the Florabama was mentioned. Florabama, the bar.
Yeah.
I had brought it up. He says, yes, it exists on the beach right on the Florida-Alabama line. It's one of the greatest and largest dive bars ever. Weekends there are a complete shit show, Yahoo says. At least it was that way 25 years ago.
Yahoo. 25 years ago.
Writing in.
It's got to be the same now.
Right?
Nothing ever changes in 25 years.
Not in a dive bar, actually. Yeah. That's the make of a good dive bar is that they're timeless.
Yeah. Please leave your flip phones at the front.
Yeah. So he says, if you're ever in the area, and I don't know why you would be, you should stop in. I will totally go. I love a good dive bar.
Now it's absolutely a beach dive bar? Even
and it's,
better.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was on the beach.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Ooh. How many times do you hear, woohoo!
Yeah.
A day.
I even have this. I got it at a brewery in Oregon. I forget what it's called. But it's like a mesh, you know, like a mesh trucker hat.
Yeah.
But a cowboy brim all the way around.
That's pretty legit, dude.
Wow.
Totally.
Yeah.
I've never worn it, but if I go to Florabama, that's where I'm wearing it.
You
won't be the only one wearing one of those there.
No, yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for validating Florabama for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Paul writes in, dear Justin, you no talent hack. How many times have you ordered a style of beer and had the server mispronounce the beer style? You know what I mean. Like you order a Hefeweizen only to have the server deliver a Hefeweizen. Ugh, he says. Put a fork in my eye. Could you and your most esteemed co-hosts, must be talking to Teresa, please give the correct pronunciations for some of these more common German beer styles and help educate us.
Yeah, because every beer server listens to the show.
Yeah. Right. All right, I'll do my best here, but I don't know that I'm the authority on these either. But I do know some of these. So the first one, and also it depends, like, when you say the correct pronunciation, like, correct in English or correct in German? All right, here's an example. The first one on his list is Dunkelweizen.
Mm-hmm.
So in English, it would be Dunkelweizen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In German, it would be Dunkelweizen.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know which one you want. But
so which one do you want, right?
Dunkelweizen.
Mm-hmm. You can walk in and say, I'd like a Dunkelweizen, but then you sound like you're being kind of an idiot.
Yeah, a little pretentious. Right.
Or you're making fun of, I want a Dunkelweizen.
Right.
I want it in the proper glassware, too.
So I think you'd be fine by saying, I'll have the Dunkelweizen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You can use Weizen, you can do that, too. I don't think there's a wrong way. The next one is Maybach, and that's just Maybach, as far as I know, whether you're speaking German or English.
Yeah.
Munich Dunkel, or Dunkel. In English, you would just say Dunkel, Munich Dunkel, or Munich Dunkel.
I think you're doing great so far.
This one's tough. By the way, it would actually, if it was German, it wouldn't be Dunkel, it would be Dunkles. There's an S. It's Dunkles, according to the great Dan Gordon.
Dunkles Weizen?
Dunkles.
And do they do like the I don't know how you say it, but it's spelled out like, instead of Munich, isn't it like Münchner?
It would be München Dunkles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I call it number four.
Yeah.
Yeah, always.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, whatever.
This one I actually can never get right, but Kolsch in English is something like Kirsch.
Kirsch.
How do you say it, Teresa?
So we make a Kirsch.
Kirsch.
It's called Wiederspreu Kolsch. Kirsch. And it's kind of like it's a test for if you grew up in Cologne.
Got it.
The only people who can pronounce that correctly are the people who are,
yeah,
come from Cologne.
Yeah. That one's a tough one. I would just stick with Kolsch if Kolsch, you're, yeah, in America. Sure. You, yeah, know.
Unless you're covered in cologne, and then that's, yeah, the only way you, mm-hmm, can say it.
If you go to Cologne, I wouldn't say Kolsch there. I would try to order it properly there, yeah, if I were you. They'll just look at you like you're a dick.
I'll have a beer, please.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's, right, go. You say that, they'll bring you a Kolsch.
I'll have das Nummer 4.
Is that still the Dunkel over there?
That's new number one.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
There you go.
I'm.
The next one on his list is Marzen, which this one kind of varies to, I believe in German it's Märzen, not with an A, but like an R, Märzen. Or in English, you could just say Marzen. Like, it's a Marzen.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine.
I don't know how you hack that up either, though. Like, how do you, you know?
Right. Well, here's one, though.
Yeah.
Rauchbier. Yeah. Rauch. Oh, actually, yeah, there's no sh in German. Rauchbier, if you did it in German.
Yeah.
Rauchbier.
There you go.
Or Rauchbier in English, I think, is fine.
All
right. Anybody disagree with Rauchbier?
No, not at all. Rauchbier is fine.
No, not everyone can produce the guttural element of.
Right.
Yeah.
Not everybody should.
Yeah.
Especially when you're ordering at somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to try, but I just didn't want to, like, get spit all over the mic.
Yeah, yeah.
Spit before.
Whenever I would try speaking German to my German friends.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was working so hard on some of those enunciations, they basically said that every time I speak German, I sound like Hitler.
Yeah.
Like, very, like, angry. Like, I was always very, I was like, oh, but I have to in order to get out some of those guttural, like, sounds. And they're like, yeah, you sound very angry. Like, I would try to say I love you, and they would be like, wow, easy, buddy.
Yeah. No, but I do. Were you asleep at the time? Because that could have been.
True.
Yeah.
All right, he says, anyway, maybe that's why the unwashed masses drink Bud Light, because they can't pronounce the style correctly. Thanks, Prost, and suck it, JP.
Wow.
From Paul.
Well, so how is he going to recommend this show to all of the people that serve him beer?
Going to give out a little card time.
That's a brilliant idea, actually. Here's a card about how to pronounce beer.
Right.
I actually kind of love that.
It's not a bad idea.
No, it really isn't.
So it generally doesn't bother me, the mispronunciation, but I will agree that the many pronunciations of Hefeweizen is fucking annoying.
Well, yeah.
Hefeweizer. Like, even if you just did it phonetically, how would you ever come up with Hefeweizer?
So and I think I've told the story in the pod before, but like years ago at More Beer, we had a gal work customer service, and she couldn't say Hefeweizen.
Hmm.
She would just slaughter it. She would say Heppenizer. And
right.
I was in the office, sat her down, and we're like, Hef. She repeats it.
Right.
Eh. She repeats it. Wise. She repeats it. We go through the whole thing.
Right.
And she did it fine. Hefe, Weizen. Hefe, like, now run it together. Heppenizer. She just could not, for the life of her, make those synapses fire together in the right way.
Right.
Some people just don't got it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That, I don't know. Then just call it a hef.
Yeah, right.
Hef is fine.
You kit 138.
I agree with Paul here that if you work at a bar or a brewery,
yeah,
figure out a way to not say something completely different.
Right.
Like Hefeweizer.
Here's your hunk of doofern.
Yeah. Like, it's just, you wouldn't do that with food, right? You wouldn't, you know? Like, if you can't say hot dog.
Yeah, here's your John Barnkin.
You just don't do it.
Here's your Zenga.
Yeah. I just don't understand that part. Anyway.
What did you just say to me? It's friggin' frab, dude.
Eat it.
Yeah. Don't not tip me.
Here we go. Hey, guys. Thanks for adding all the archives from the very beginning to iTunes. You're welcome. I've only been listening for about a year, so this is the first time I've been able to listen to the older shows. It was pretty cool to hear Crotch Rot, Christian, he says. Sorry, Justin. Back on the show. I was just thinking to myself the other day, whatever happened to some of the other BNers from the early days? Like Crotch, of course. Well, now you know if you listened to last week's show. Oz. Oz had to quit drinking, I think.
Yeah.
Most of the people who have disappeared from the show had to either quit drinking, or their wives didn't like us, or...
they had to quit drinking.
Right. So that's what happened to Oz. He had to quit drinking. Bub, or Boob.
Yeah. He's still around.
Bub's still around. In fact, I saw him at last year's Craft Brewers Conference in Nashville. I think he's living around the Nashville area. Anyway, he says, going back to some of the earliest days, though, I think some of the best content came when Sully would just pop in. So I think it only makes sense to try to get him back in the studio more often, especially since he has been, besides maybe more beer, the biggest supporter and advocate of the BN. That's probably true. The only thing that would make it better is if you could get him and Roger to show up at the same time. Anyway, thanks for all the hard work, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I love having Sully on the show. And Roger's making an appearance tonight.
That's right.
Maybe the two worlds will collide. I don't
know.
Okay. Thanks for writing in, Chris. Good feedback. Seth writes, JP, thank you for recommending Worst Beer Blog as an Instagram follow on the session a few weeks back.
Yeah, you're welcome.
OMFG, it's amazing. The past 2 days of the X versus Meg Gill have been pure entertainment. What's that?
So, Meg Gill, of course, from Golden Road, right? Sold to Anheuser-Busch. Apparently,
I had the biggest crush on Meg for so long.
Well, apparently you could have slid in the DMs because allegedly, right? The guy who was in charge of mergers and acquisitions for Anheuser-Busch, the craft division, was having an affair with Meg before the deal went through. And nobody really knew this.
Cares,
right. But what happened, I mean, they were boning. Then the sale went through.
Okay.
And so the accusation is that she only slept with the dude to buy the, you know, so she could sell her brewery. Because that was also a rumor.
I like her even more now, if that's true.
The rumor was that she started Golden Road specifically to sell.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
But now sleeping with the dude in charge is even better. So
how did this come out?
So the ex-wife of the guy got a Twitter account. It's Ale Rosewood, A-L-E Rosewood.
Okay.
And she's posting divorce documents. Meg got a restraining order against her, and she throws massive shade. So she retweets a Golden Road tweet that says, Meg's advice to ambitious young women in beer is simple. Go for it. Focus on your dreams. And she goes, so this is my ex's mistress. He was an AB InBev's M&A guy.
Damn.
And negotiated the deal to buy Golden Road. No, Meg, you are not empowering women by ruining other women and families to get your brewery sold.
Oh, yikes. Ouch.
Yeah, it's pretty hard. And so Golden Road just came out with a beer called K-38.
Okay.
Okay. And she goes, K-38, one of the many travel destinations of my ex, Michael Taylor, and your founder, President Meg Gill. Did ABI pay for these trips too? It's just like, going for it real hard. And it's such a drama fest, and I love it so much.
That's very sad, but also just the best. I just love that this woman is going in on her.
Yeah. Just one more reason to not
drink
Golden Road.
Yeah. But have you tried the Hef? I mean,
their Hefeweizen is so good.
Their Heppenschüttel. It's so good.
You don't get enough drama in the craft beer, so it's nice to
not like that. Not
a little
on this,
action.
Not on this scale. Like, you get a lot of, well, I got kicked out of a beer fest in, you know, BFE, Wisconsin for wearing a brewery shirt that's not the, like, who cares?
Well, and you know how she,
pretty big.
You know how she had the TV show thing, which always pisses me off. We've talked about this before, I'm clearly the best host on planet Earth for any beer TV show ever. Anyway, the beer shows like that will they'll never fucking work. There's just not a big enough audience, right? Even I could not pull off a two beer centric of a show, making it more than one or two seasons.
Well, especially with her,
right?
People refused to go on in the second, but they were putting call out for the second season.
Oh.
But she came off as such an asshole to the homebrewers.
Oh, really?
In the first season, people were like, "No, I'm not." Like, they were having a hard time.
I always found it hot when she was an asshole. I liked that. And that's part of why I was attracted to her.
Put your stilettos on and step on my throat, mommy.
But I'll tell you
what. I never even saw it.
Vice.
Vice, yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay, but the show that would have made it is a fucking reality show that goes over this situation that you're talking about right now. If it was like a real reality show about her life and the, you know, Real Housewives of Craft Beer or some fucking thing, I don't know, that would be a success. She'd be a hit right now.
You know what we should do? You know what's really popular?
I'd watch it right now.
Right? So would I. Love bad reality TV.
You know what's popular in podcasts? I don't know if you keep up with the trends in podcasting.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. But true crime, like pre-produced pods.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We should do an investigative, pre-recorded true crime pod on this.
I would love to.
All right.
I can't, though. I have to recuse myself because of my crush.
Oh.
I would be a biased reporter.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, not good investigative peer journalism.
Right. I'm like, she didn't do anything. She's fine.
She said everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with it.
Don't see a thing wrong here.
All right.
Anyway, Seth thanks you for that.
Yeah, well, they're both good follows. So.
If I used Insta, I'd probably follow it, too.
Right. And now you know how to sell the BN. You just got to sleep with somebody.
That's right. Just the right people, though.
I mean,
well, you got to start somewhere. Just anybody.
True. All right. I don't know if that's going to work for me.
Yeah, I mean, who would
but
be?
Yeah, who? What women in beer is like higher than you, Justin? You have to like.
Who's the head of pod? Who's the head of Spotify?
The social climbing aspect of the Brewing Network, sleeping with.
Okay, there are some.
I'm sure that's awesome, but that's really not the beer.
Julia Hurd.
Right.
Yeah.
There are some.
Yeah.
And I am not above pimping myself out.
No.
At all.
I will hold the camera for you.
I just don't know that the receiving end of the party would get any joy out of this, and hence not elevate my career at all.
So well, lower the offer number.
I mean, honestly, if you know, it's not like there's no data points previous to this to determine whether or not enjoyment will be had not, right? So if you look at the past data points, you're probably right. Nobody would enjoy the sexual encounter.
Should I survey my exes? Is that what you're getting at? Should I send out a Google survey?
It's making me so uncomfortable. Yeah.
This survey monkey. Yeah.
I would love it. I think it would be hilarious if I, the results, to read the results of
if
the
you want
Justin
another podcast,
sex survey.
Then let's do it on a podcast.
Well, so maybe you don't go there. You just whisper in some highfalutin beer woman's ear.
Yeah.
Hey, you're my beer crush.
Oh. Yeah.
What can we do together?
I got does a stock that, index for you.
Okay, does that work, or then am I a sexist pig? Like,
yeah, maybe
see?
Both. I don't know. It could work.
Sometimes I can't tell the difference between being heterosexual and being a sexist pig. In this scenario,
sometimes there's
maybe
no difference.
It depends on how genuine you are. Like, Can you really sell it?
So, like, if I was, in other words, if I had a little, like, half chub and I pressed myself against the leg as I whispered in the ear, then it would be
that's guaranteed failure.
If you pull a Joe Biden, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're lucky, you can get someone to NZ Zanzari you, where they accuse you of something and then write about your sexual encounters Vanity Fair, and then you can come out and be like, I didn't do anything wrong. That's just how I have sex. And then everyone goes, oh, yeah, he's right.
Huh. I don't think that's a path to success.
No, maybe, I think you should try.
I
really do.
Issue.
It's not a microphone.
I don't know if we can.
I should interview each one of them. Imagine that the interviewer.
Who? Of your exes?
Me. Yeah. Is the topic of the interview.
It's like,
I need to do the interview.
Aggressively.
I'm calling in sick.
I'm a great interviewer. I'm able to get information out of people, and I think it's only right that I do the same.
That you extract the information. You be the one to extract.
I'm pretty sure that last time Daniela was on the show, I did just that. Like, I started to ask about, because I thought it'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
I think Bevo was just as uncomfortable, if not more. Because I was like, what? You know, why did we break up?
Yes, this happened, and I turned inside out.
I think we should do it.
I would. I love reality TV. That's terrible. Watching it in person is not cool.
Just pretend your window is a TV screen, and you can just be on that
side. I need yoga pants. I need some potato chips.
You got that big 40-inch screen you've always wanted.
Yeah.
She's too close to the train wreck. She's going to get hit by a train car.
The thing about me is I'm fully comfortable with it on the microphone.
Yeah.
Right. Like. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I've ever talked about my feelings with a single partner of mine off the microphone.
Yeah.
But on the mic, I'm comfortable as fuck.
Right.
So I could definitely go through all of this, all of the things and have no issues whatsoever.
I think you should do it.
It's a new podcast.
Yeah. I think
it's only like six episodes. I haven't had that many girlfriends.
And like 2 minutes each? How long of episodes are we talking?
Right. Yeah. 30 seconds if we're going by my performance.
You know what? It should just be 1 2-hour one and it's a panel.
A panel. Oh. Now that, oh God, that would be really, wow. That might actually make me uncomfortable.
Like Charlie Rose style, like
wow.
Background, but just spotlight.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then each spotlight kicks on over each one.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. I got
that might
this.
Make me uncomfortable.
Yeah. Like that sounds like a nightmare.
It's like a Bergman
true.
Film. Right. Dude, that's good.
Right.
And the audience is full of the kids.
That's right. Yeah. And you're in clown makeup.
All right. Well, a lot of good ideas here. I got to get us moving. We got a lot to do. It's going to be a long show.
Well, we got to work out a shooting schedule.
Yeah.
Last one here from Clayton writes in, Justin, now that Avery Brewing has been sold, are you able to reveal that Colorado brewery you've kept secret for so many years? I'm referring to the story where you asked about that plasticky flavor in their young IPA. Yeah, that's one of my, I still cringe about that moment. Well, not my proudest moment in my career. He says, I always suspected Avery was that brewery since Vinny took you there, and Adam has been a very good friend of his. And it was the only Colorado brewer that was part of the famous Belgian trip with Tommy, Vinny, Adam, Rob, and Bevo's favorite, Sam Caligioni. What say you, sir? Have a great show.
Pad say you.
Yeah. Look at Sherlock over here.
Yeah.
I'm not going to answer that question, Clayton.
That now famous trip that people I've never met took years ago.
Right.
That didn't impact my life at all.
Yeah.
I'm not going to answer the question. That, I don't know why. It just, you know, the brewer, by the way, was not a bad brewer. It just was a bad beer or a young beer. And luckily, Vinny saved my ass when I made a stupid comment.
And it could also have been a bad palate. I mean,
Teresa, you're a professional brewer. Okay.
So here is my honest opinion about this.
Okay.
And it bugs the
Go ahead.
It bugs the shit out of me.
Whoa, okay.
If people have a problem with the beer,
she curses.
And they don't tell you. Because that doesn't help you improve. And so when people are hypersensitive about having a criticism come to them, you're just being silly because we all care about making good beer. And I am that person. I've seriously gone places, had off flavors galore.
Right.
I have a really hard time telling people.
See, and that's how the reason I said it is because I feel like you feel. Like that's, I feel that it's the right, but it was early enough in my career that, you know, maybe I should just shut my fucking mouth, basically.
Yeah, and maybe, but you're, like, honestly, that's not gonna help anybody.
Yeah, agreed.
But I did actually... Not super recently, but some time ago, I let a person know that I thought their beer had diacetyl issues, for example.
Okay.
How did Warren take it? Terrible.
Warren.
What's her name over here?
He shook his fist and he shaked his head around a little bit and he was like, okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me know.
Okay.
But no, I mean, it was not taken really well.
It wasn't?
Mm.
Like, what was the reaction?
I felt like it was the right thing to do. It was taken back to, so I gave the feedback to someone who was not the brewer. They took it back to the brewers and the brewers said, oh no, you're just tasting like we have extraordinary hop flavor. That's what you're tasting. And I was like,
yeah,
no, but okay.
It's so good.
I'm
bad.
Good, you know, but it's, yeah, I mean, I think it's important. It's important feedback. If I had a keg go out in the world that turned to a diacetyl bomb,
you want to know, right?
I want to know about that because that's not okay.
Yeah.
And
I'm with you on that.
I think the difference is that, like, Teresa, you are experienced in these flavors and you know what you're talking about. And I think at the time you had no idea what you were talking about. You just said plastic.
But if he tasted plastic,
I didn't.
It tastes like plastic.
Yeah,
and, you know?
And the truth is. So you're right, JP, that I didn't, but I was asking a genuine question, is what it was. I was actually being genuine because I did taste plastic, and it was a flavor I had tasted before.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually was coming from a place where this is normal in beer, and I wanted to know why.
Right.
Because I felt like, does it go away or something like that? And it just was taken poor. Like, the person just fucking stared at me. And I mean, until Vinny stepped in and was like,
awkward.
Oh, yeah. It's something that can happen with a very young, highly hopped beer,
yeah.
And it can go away, which, by the way, was not entirely accurate either.
It could have been because you said it in front of Vinny and the like, versus if you had pulled him aside,
right.
Been like, hey, one on one,
good call,
versus calling him out in front of somebody like Vinny,
good call. So here's what I've learned. I will actually continue to be honest where I deem it like that it will be accepted. So now what I do is I first kind of feel out the situation. Like, I might crack a couple jokes with the brewer ahead of time to see if they have a sense of humor about themselves or me or whatever,
yeah,
before then going, oh, by the way, this is a diacetyl bomb.
Yeah. And you've always loved all of my beers that I brought you.
You're right. Yeah.
But I think if you bring a diacetyl bomb in here, like, that's a bad idea. Mm-hmm. Like, you should not, you should be more careful.
You should be more careful. And look, you should
be more careful.
I'm trying to think, like,
just do better.
If people were to send in criticism about my broadcasting style, I'm trying to think, would I genuinely accept that? Or would I be like, I know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm the broadcaster here. You don't have to tell me that. Right? Because I'm just trying to put myself in a brewer's shoes, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think I would take the criticism. I mean, I would look at it. I would look into it. I would go, oh, okay, he says this too much, or he does this thing, or what. I would then go listen to myself and figure out, sure, if it was like, at the very least, you'd want to go, oh, let me go see if that's accurate.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what's wrong with that as a brewer? Like, you know, feedback, even if it's wrong. Okay, let's say, just for example, you were wrong about that diacetyl, and it was some weird new fucking experimental hop. I don't know what.
Yeah.
Still go check it out, right?
Oh,
like, go check it out.
Yeah, and you know, if I think it's important enough to tell you about it,
right,
you know, I kind of think you should think about it. And of course, you know,
yeah,
I'm going to do it discreetly. I'm not going to, you know,
not like me.
Yeah, I just tweeted
the issue.
Hey, hang on a second. Let me invite all your heroes over before I give you this fucking criticism. Literally, yeah, it was Matt Brettelson was in the room. Vinny was in the room.
Well, I mean, but that's like, honestly, those guys, they've had that happen before.
Right,
like, I guarantee you that once upon a blue moon,
right,
Vinny has had a beer go bad, and they had to dump it, and he had somebody come to him and say, this beer is shitty, get rid of this thing. Like, that's just what you do, and you know, things don't go perfect every single time, and
sure,
then when that they do go bad, then you learn a bunch, and you try to improve, and you improve your process, which we have totally done many times.
Sure.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I say keep it up.
Yeah, I'm
Don't
going
let
to.
Let the haters beat you down.
I like this. See, hang on. Wait, well, that's a good column there, Teresa.
Justin's right.
Yeah. Justin is
His
right.
Ass. That's all I.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Let me underline that a couple
times.
He's
being asked for quality right now.
All right. That's our feedback for today, and I got to get us to a break. Boy, that was a good long first segment. Coming up, we've got a Bearlick Brewing Company in the studio with us, all the way down from Portland, Oregon. So we're going to hang out with them, try their beer. It's The Session, and we'll be right back after these words.
Do you know the three most important rules in brewing? Sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, Santa Cataclean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the Five Star solution. Visit FiveStarChemicals.com or call 800-782-7019. 800-782-7019 and get the Five Star treatment today.
Hey, this is Brendan from Central Coast Brewing. You're listening to The Session on the Brewing Network.
Welcome back to the program. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. You're listening to The Session. And don't forget about our wonderful sponsor and friends over at White Labs. Have you visited the vault for homebrewers? It's the White Labs collection of specialty one-of-a-kind strains, and you're able to pre-order and decide which strains are released to homebrewers. All you have to do is visit whitelabs.com/thevault and place a pre-order on the strain you'd like to use. Once it reaches 150 orders, White Labs will release the yeast and ship it directly to your doorstep. And there's good news for pro brewers, too. If you want access to any vault strains for your next brew day, place a minimum order of 1.5 liters through yeastman.com or by contacting customer service rep, and you'll get access to their unique specialty strains, too. Go to whitelabs.com/thevault. All right, as promised, we've got Bearlick Brewing Company from Portland, Oregon in the studio. Welcome, guys. Thanks.
What's up, guys?
Thank you.
And you drove all the way, or flew, or drove? How did you
we
get
drove.
Here? Just for the show?
In a car, yeah.
Just for this? Or you guys had like 10 other things going on? Be honest with me right now. Just
no.
for this. Good. Thank you.
Yeah. We came here. To drink.
We've been waiting for 4 days just patiently.
Yeah. Have you been here
been
for 4 days?
Out, yeah.
Really?
Been kicked out 3 times.
Okay. Was there a denim convention?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, we've got to learn about that with you guys. So you have a strange fascination with denim vests.
We are enthusiasts.
Yes. Enthusiasts, even. Yeah. Well, in the studio, we have Ben is with us. Ben Parsons, who's the president. Right?
President/janitor.
Yeah. /janitor. Yeah. Okay. It kind of works the same way around here, too. And then CEO Rick Hall.
Yeah, or custodial engineer.
Yeah. Excellent. Another one with a weird spelling. Is it really R-I-K?
It is. Yeah.
Why?
Well, I mean, my...
Is your full name not Richard?
Yeah, my full name is Richard. So I always, when you're learning cursive in school, I always left the C out. So
you did.
I just kept it as R-I-K for the longest... Yep.
So it's because you're a slow adult is essentially why it's all right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Just checking.
It's a lot quicker. Yeah.
And then also in the studio, who we will hear from time to time, the lead brewer, Stephen the Bear Hellwig.
The is Bear.
Here. Yeah. what's the denim situation? What did you guys...
We celebrate casual Fridays or denim vest Fridays.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also for special occasions.
I see.
Yeah.
It's not just us. Like, everybody is welcome to join Denim Vest Friday.
Got it.
We got it from a company in Portland, Chris King Components, and they were doing Denim Vest Fridays. So
we stole it.
So you just jumped in on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And is it like a Portland hipster thing? Like people,
we're not hipsters.
You're not hipsters.
Ask anybody.
Yeah. Okay. Ask anybody in Portland.
We just have beards and denim vests on, but we are not hipsters.
Right.
We make beer in Portland, but we are not hipsters.
Yeah. Right. I mean, the rest of the world might think you're a hipster, but nobody in Portland thinks so.
No,
they're like, no those guys?
In the tiers of hipsters, we're at low on the total.
Yeah, right.
They have too much flair to be true hipsters.
That's
like,
true.
Their heart is on their sleeve.
Right, that's not...
Or on their denim vest, right. I should say.
Got a lot of pieces of flair. Pins.
I do want to point out that one of your vests has a Tasty patch on
absolutely,
it, which I thought
absolutely.
That... I'm sure Tasty would be happy to see that. There's a photo on our website. Yeah, you can see it right now. So that's for... All right, well, we'll learn more about denim as the interview goes on, I'm sure. Where is Bearlick Brewing located? You guys have two locations in Portland?
Yes, we're a production brewery and tap room in Southeast Portland.
Okay.
We have a food cart pod and beer garden in Northeast Portland.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. When did you guys open?
2014.
I see.
Yeah. It's been open 5 years.
Was it you two that started it?
Yes. We are the co-owner, co-operators.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you brew professionally before?
No.
You're home brewers, though?
Yep.
Like everybody.
Like everybody.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What did you? What was your previous life? What was your job, Rick?
I was a bike mechanic for like 10 years.
Of course
Bicycle
you were.
Bicycle mechanic.
Bicycle mechanic.
Yeah. Here's not hip.
You making a list?
Denim. Yeah. Brewery.
Yeah. Beard, fucking bike mechanic.
Fucking bike mechanic. Yeah. What was the other thing? I totally tuned out.
Did you?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Food truck pod.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
How many fixies do you have, Rick?
I actually don't own any right now.
No fixies right now.
Yes.
Okay.
He's in between.
Yeah.
How many pairs?
That's
of
JP. That's slang for a fixed gear bicycle.
Yeah. Oh. Wow. Wait
I went to Portland once. I watched Portlandia once.
Social chameleon over here.
Jiminy Christmas.
Okay. Bike mechanic.
Yep.
Bicycle mechanic. All right. So you made an upgrade. That's good.
Yeah.
Usually the joke is, oh, why did you start brewing? You make less money, but you probably make more fucking money now. Ish.
Incremental.
Yeah. Okay. You're waiting for that check still.
Do you know how many fixed gears are in Portland? That's where you go.
Good point.
It's a dead end. Yeah.
Why wasn't the shop called Fixed Gear? Because you fix the gear. It's a fixed gear and you fix it.
Good. He might have made it if he had done that.
Fuck, man.
You're too late. Ben, what was your gig before?
I was in graphic design and branding.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that helps. I didn't even look at your branding yet. You can go to bearlickbrewing.com. It's BAERLIC, bearlickbrewing.com, and check it out. So I assume you did your own branding.
Yeah, very much so.
I like it. It does look good. You don't have, wait, do you have like a, you don't, your logo is text. You don't have like an image.
We are complicated.
I like it.
We're all over the place.
Oh, you've got a couple different fonts. Look at you. You got your cursive one. That must be because you knew Rick couldn't fucking do it.
Right.
And then you've got your other font.
Notice that C in there. Yeah.
Ben's like,
boys, the one.
Fuck you, Rick.
Yeah. Yeah. No, okay.
Do we really need a C in here, guys? Come on.
It's actually the C from Rick's name.
Moved over to there.
Only one. It's very poetic, yeah.
So you guys homebrewed together.
Yep.
You're longtime friends. And then... Now, we always ask this, like, why open a brewery? But for you guys, it's a little more important of a question. Why open a brewery in Portland in 2014, you said? I get nervous about opening a tap room when there's another bar in town. Like, just another fucking bar in town.
Did you not think you could do it better?
Good question. Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Is that your thing? Like, you're even with all of the great breweries in Portland, you're like, we can do this better.
Well, we can do something very similar, and we feel that it's. I mean, I don't want to crap on anybody else's brewery.
Understood. Do it. That's fine.
Pull your fucking pants down and take a shit right now.
But there are a number of breweries out there in Portland and Oregon that we can do things better.
Okay,
and they are in alphabetical order.
Yeah, start from the top.
So you weren't. I mean, everybody's nervous about starting a business, but you didn't have this feeling like it's so saturated, we're going to have a really difficult time standing out.
Absolutely not.
You felt your...
I would counter that. By the time we realized what we were getting into, it was far too late to turn back.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, ignorance was bliss on that. Yeah, we had no idea what was going on.
What size brewery did you start with?
10-barrel system.
Same that you have now?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you buy that brand new? Or
yep. Custom build at a... Vancouver, Washington, just north of Portland.
Okay.
Yeah, there were a lot of breweries opening up around that time, so there wasn't a lot of used equipment out there on the market.
Right. How many breweries are in Portland now? Do you guys know?
We were the 63rd for about 14 days.
Right, and then right. Okay, interesting.
I think at this point there's well over 100 in the Portland metro area.
Wow.
But they're all really small. I mean, that's the thing.
Okay. Nano breweries?
There's, you know, 2-barrel, 1-barrel, to 5-barrel, to 10-barrel.
Wow.
A lot of on-premise stuff. And,
okay. Did you guys find success immediately? Like, did people just come in the doors, or did you have to fight your way to get noticed?
Somewhere in the middle. We had a really good first day, like way more than we would have expected.
Okay.
But I guess going into it, I mean, we've been... Hard work ethic, just head down.
I mean,
failure was not an option just based on realities. We didn't have a rich uncle, so we didn't really have time to think, honestly.
Did you quit your jobs to open, or do you kept your jobs and did this thing?
We did, yeah.
I quit.
I quit first for about 6 weeks, and I'm like, I need help. Yeah, so then that's when Rick jumped on, and we were in the middle of build-out. We ran most of that ourselves.
As in, you didn't hire a general contractor?
Right, I was a general contractor.
Okay, did you have any experience with that?
Construction background, but not, okay. Not.
Like you had fucking hit a hammer before,
right.
And you're like, I can do this. Yeah. My partner here tried to do that to me. He's like, I've done construction. I was like, fuck you. Right. That is a project. Okay, so you were the general contractor.
Right, right. Uh-huh. And we got open in 6 months. So we took possession January 1st, 2014, open June 28th.
Wow. That's pretty quick.
That's gotta be like record time.
Yep.
Yeah, honestly,
absolutely.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
What was the building? Was it just?
It was a
old brewery.
It was an old brewery.
Right. Yeah.
It was we just came in. Yeah, painted the wall.
Yeah.
Six months of painting. It's a great paint job, though.
Right. Right. Beautiful. Yeah.
What was it?
Prior to our occupancy, it was a bagel shop. So they had a large commissary kitchen in the back.
Okay.
So they already had floor drains, 1-inch. 100 PSI water.
Oh.
I mean, all the kind of infrastructural things you need. 800 square feet of cold storage.
Okay.
All intents and purposes, pretty turnkey for a brewery.
Okay.
But still, that was right before Portland was going crazy in growth.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we kind of worked through the system a little faster than, say, now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And funding, did you guys, had you just been saving up to do this? Did you take out, if you don't mind my ask, did you take out a fat loan? Do you have silent partners?
Yes.
All.
Yeah.
Family.
Just the couches in the neighborhood.
Okay.
The change, yeah.
I got you.
Yeah, we probably 50% was a loan, SBA loan.
Okay.
And the rest was friends and family.
Got it.
Equity.
Man, an SBA loan for a brewery in Portland, too. Like, I would have thought automatically, I'm not even turning this application in.
Right.
You know, because they might just say there's enough of these already, right? But you did, and they said, yeah, we
After
got you.
After about four or five different banks.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We pretty much had to talk the bank into giving us or providing us a way to get the SBA loan.
How do you do that?
So originally we went in with the idea of having a restaurant attached as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they immediately looked at our business model as a restaurant.
Mm.
And we came back with, no, that's not what we're doing here. We're not working on like 30% like margins. We are a brewery. We're producing this. These are our cogs.
Yeah.
Here's the potential for what we're selling over the bar.
The margins are much greater.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. And so sitting down and talking with them after they said the original no, we were like, well, wait a second.
Hmm.
And it sort of explained to them why it was different than a traditional restaurant.
I'm a little surprised that a bank in that area would need to be coached on what a brewery tap room is.
It was really frustrating.
But I guess nothing is surprising. Really, people are just idiots everywhere.
Right.
So that's interesting that you got a chance to even, like, a lot of times it feels like you put in this application and you get a no, and it's a faceless no, and you don't get it even opportunity.
It was the fifth bank, so at that point it was just like, no, listen.
Okay. Yeah, you just went in and we're like, no, we got to talk this out.
I'm going to tell you no now, yeah. Mr. Bank Man.
Yeah.
My name's Ken. Why are you poking my chest?
Right. Well,
that's
good for you.
Business lesson, yeah.
So you really just went in and was like, we have to talk this out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Oh, good for you. All right. And so they find. So someone said yes. You find a building. Shit, 6 months later, you're open, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was just that easy.
And did you guys have... Were you guys brewing right at the beginning?
We brewed two... We kind of got the brew house going
May 7th. May 7th was our first brew.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know, 6-8 weeks before we opened. So we cleaned the place really good because it was still a construction zone.
Hmm.
We filled all the tanks. At that point, it was 3 10-barrel fermenters. And then we basically kicked construction back on.
Mm.
So that kind of bought us some time to get some product out in the market and have enough beer to open the doors.
So you guys also had commercial brewing experience beforehand?
No.
No.
You just figured it out?
Just that.
We already covered that.
Okay. It's fucking easy.
We
you turn the thing on.
I just walked in the door, so, yeah. You know.
Right. Yeah. Right.
All right, so then be honest with me. By your own standards... How was your first beer out of that system?
Better than I thought.
Yeah.
Really?
Better than I was expecting.
Up to your standards today, would you say?
We've come a long way.
Okay.
Yeah.
What'd you brew? What was the first beer?
Ultra Summer Ale, USA. Ale. World Cup was going on, so we made a beer called USA. Ultra Hops. It was just a single malt, single hop.
Okay.
thing. Yeah,
based on a homebrew recipe that you guys had done.
That was not.
You just went for
that was kind of a calibration beer.
Yeah, we didn't want to. Yeah, so.
New system. Fuck it. We have all these great homebrew recipes, but why use those?
Right.
Let's do an all new beer our first time ever brewing commercially.
Right. Yep. Absolutely.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
It was great. And here we are.
Yeah. We learned a lot with that first batch of beer, though. I mean, we learned how far a single batch will go when it comes to sending it out in the market.
Okay.
Then also how many batches you can get in, how much beer you can sell before people are tired of that beer.
I see. But before you got to sell them a different beer, you're saying.
Right,
not just tired of Bearlick, but they need another style.
They need something else.
So you learned all that pretty quick, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you able to sell that first beer pretty quickly or slowly? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, pretty quickly. We had.
And you were doing this yourselves?
Yeah. I mean, I was the original salesperson.
Yeah.
So when I wasn't brewing or working on the tap room, I was out selling beer.
Okay. So you just show up at there's a ton of great bars in Portland, craft beer bars. You just show up with some samples, say, hey, we're another new Portland brewery. Will you try my beer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, we had a pretty good line with a couple of people already, just giving them samples of our homebrew or whatever, or sitting down and talking with them and, you know, asking them if they'd be willing to bring our beer in.
Okay.
We got some pretty good support early on. I mean, I think Imperial Bottle Shop, Hawthorne Hop House, too, pretty solid accounts in Portland.
Okay.
Were kind of, threw us a bone.
Got it.
And it was a few months. I think about the time we got into the horse brass, I think that was like the real like.
Oh, there you go. That's your you've made it moment, right?
Yeah, that was far from us making it, but yes, that was the.
Just in your, at least for some cred.
It's a milestone.
It's a milestone. Yeah.
Great place, too. Yeah. All right, let's talk about this beer that's in our glass,
cool.
too. We'll come back to some of this self-distribution stuff. But I think the first beer we're trying is your dad beer. Great name, Double Entendre as well. Drink all day.
We're actually drinking our father.
Yes.
I love tasting my father.
Plus, the style is kind of a dad beer, right? What's the style?
A pre-pro beer lager.
Okay.
So what, 90%, 80% vitamin pills, flake corn.
A little bit of corn, too? Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Willamette and Cascade hops.
That's a fucking great beer.
Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah.
I just want to drink that all day.
Yeah, exactly.
As you do.
Beautiful and clear as the day is long.
Yeah.
Right? Just, filtered?
No.
Fined?
Yes.
Okay. And you just lager it nice and long, too? Or is it a short?
No, this is... I mean, we've been kind of playing around with yeast pitch rates and things like that, and we've got a pretty quick turn on this.
Okay. What's the yeast you use?
This is Flagship from Imperial. So it's an ale yeast. We ferment about 60 degrees.
Okay.
Over pitch.
Interesting.
With sulfur issues, kind of doing your traditional pitch rates for an ale, and it comes out really clean.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this beer. This must be popular out there.
It is.
In the land of where, like, Pabst is the other popular beer, right? Like, this fits right in there, and it's better, thank God.
Yes, that was the intention. I mean, try something that's kind of entry-level, but not so pedestrian that, someone with some crappier experience can enjoy it still.
Yeah. Is it your bestseller, or just one of?
One of. These two beers right here are what we make year-round.
Okay.
I wouldn't call them core beers. Cause,
what's the other one?
Punk Rock Time IPA.
Okay, got it. Also clear as fuck.
Yeah.
Very nice.
This is one of our clear beers, yeah.
Do you do hazy beers?
We do. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. More of in a rotational, kind of position.
Yeah.
We do one every quarter in package and then switch it up. I mean, that's what the market wants is they want new stuff all the time. So
yeah.
And it helps us with hop contracts. We can kind of, play around and get smaller amounts.
Okay.
The market also wants self-driving cars, but no one's doing those.
Right.
They are. Yeah.
Oh, they are?
And people are dying.
Yes. Just like hazy IPAs.
People are also
dying. People are dying.
People are dying.
How many different beers would you say you have on at any given time?
That's a good... we have more beers than we can put on tap. We have 12 taps at our original brewery and tap room. Our second location has 20 taps, so we can kind of fill that out more.
Yeah.
We have such a kind of haphazard cellar. I mean, we have 3 10 barrels, 3 20s, a 30, and a 40, so we can kind of do really small piles or really large piles of stuff.
I see.
So we tend to get backed up. at any point in time, we have 12 beers on. Last year, we do can releases, 2 to maybe 3 new ones a month. So last year, we did 23 different can releases.
Wow.
This year, we'll probably 36.
Do even more. Wow.
Yeah.
You have your own canning line?
We do not.
You have a mobile canner?
Yep, mobile canner.
Come by?
Craft canning.
What are these you brought? Are those crowlers? Or are those just big-ass cans?
Those are crawlers. Yes.
Okay.
They're quarts of freedom, according to the label.
Yes.
Quarts of freedom. I do like that.
Of freedom.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's try this IPA, too. How about that? Also brilliantly clear, like I was mentioning. You know you like that, Beardy.
It's so great. I can already tell I'm going
to
like it. Just to look at it, yeah.
I can just smell this beer.
The nose is really good. Yeah. What kind of hops are in this?
So we use Strata. If you guys are familiar with that, it's a newer variety out of the OSU program.
Mm-hmm.
Indie hops grew a large amount this year, kind of the big launch for this year, and also Amarillo and Chinook. Kind of backup hops.
Yeah.
Amarillo. Still one of my faves after all these years. Ooh, that's a damn good IPA.
It's super good.
Thanks.
I love the mixture of new and old school hops. Yeah. I mean, I think that just gives an IPA so much depth.
Yeah. It's familiar but new. Yeah, that was the intention.
It's super good.
This is just like an awesome West Coast style. It's dry, bunch of late hopping, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't, I mean, bitterness is not even really an issue with this beer.
We get most of our bitterness from our Whirlpool in this.
You do? Yeah. Okay. What do you use as your bittering hop at all?
Probably, actually, we switched to Cascade on this. We're trying to get the, 60-minute edition.
Mm-hmm.
The bitterness so low, we needed something lower alpha.
Got it.
What kind of IBUs do you think you're getting from the Cascade at 60 minutes?
Oh, probably calculated like 10.
10, yeah.
I mean, mostly it's for kettle performance just to keep the foam down and things like that. We get probably 14 to 16% out of our Whirlpool.
Okay.
So most of the bitterness is coming from that. And then I have a dry hop.
I buy a six-pack of IPA about once a month, right? I'm a pale ale drinker all the time. About once a month, six-pack of IPA. This would absolutely go into my rotation.
Awesome. Oh, yeah.
It's really good. It's like, it's just kind of up my alley. It's a little dank.
Definitely, that's the Strata.
Right? Is that what that is? Okay. It's also piney, which I like. That's because I like the earthy, and piney, earthy, things like that.
That's
got a little bit of everything.
Yeah, it's a little bit of Strata, a little bit of Chinook.
Okay.
For that clean pine. Yeah. More Oregon-grown Chinook tends to be a little more, like, more clean pine.
Ooh.
It's not as rustic as I typically get in Chinook beers.
Right.
This one's very well put together.
Do you add sugar to dry it out, too?
We do not.
You just straight
this is Environment mash. Pills, a little bit of Best Light Munich, and some Dex. So we're actually kind of using Dextra pills to build some body.
A little of that, okay.
Yeah. What's the ABV on this?
6.2, I think.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Love it.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, drinkable.
Yeah.
That six pack a month would get drunk in one night too. Telling you right now. With this one,
Justin's gonna have to upgrade to 4 or 6 packs per month.
I know. I'm gonna have to switch.
Please.
Are you guys available outside of Portland?
Willamette Valley, so we go down to Corvallis and Eugene.
Okay.
But that's about it. We self distribute, so
you do.
Yeah, that you know kind of minimizes our footprint.
Okay.
We get a little bit up in Seattle. We were able to self distribute in the state of Washington as well. So a little bit makes it up to Seattle, but not very much.
Okay. So I can't get it down here yet, except when you bring it to me.
Not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to talk more about your self-distribution in just a minute. Cool. I got to get us to a break.
Cool.
What do I have to do before the break, JP? What do I have to do? What do I have to
do? I would imagine something involved reading things from the screen on the computer.
Yes, sir.
All right.
God, you've been doing it. You're a professional.
Well, I like to think of myself as a professional, and I put that
all right,
on
all right, all right.
I'm covering for you.
GreatFermentations.com. Go to Great Fermentations. They now offer specialized grain ordering. Order any grain in less than 1 pound increments. Perfect. For specialty malts, you can ask to combine or keep grains separate, and even tell them to crush the grain if you want. Go check them out at greatfermentations.com. As always, Great Fermentation provides top-notch customer service and same-day shipping on most items. greatfermentations.com. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Session.
Are you looking for a simple brewing system that's great for all grain brewing, but everything on the market seems to be full of compromises? Blickman Engineering has the answer. The Blickman Brew Easy All Grain Brewing System. The Brew Easy is a complete system with easy upgrades and a beautiful compact design, perfect for any size brewing location. At its core, the Brew Easy is built on 2 gorgeous Blickman Boilermaker brew kettles, a high temperature March pump, and either a top tier gas burner or the new boil coil electric heater. The Brew Easy adapter lid allows the pots to stack
stack on top of each other, forming an efficient, strong, and compact brewing setup that comes in 5, 10, and 20-gallon batch sizes. Upgrade your BrewEasy system with full automated control by adding a Blickman Tower of Power temp controller, and make moving around easy with the Blickman Kettle Cart. The BrewEasy is modular. If you already own a Boilermaker kettle, you can build your BrewEasy by purchasing just the modules you need. The new BrewEasy all-grain brewing system. See it today at BlickmanEngineering.com and brew with Blickman quality on your new BrewEasy.
Hey, this is Gabriel from Half Acre in Chicago. You're listening to The Session on the Brewing Network.
Welcome back to the program. Thanks for hanging out with us. And Bearlick Brewing Company. You can go to bearlickbrewing.com and check them out. You can see the branding. You can look at the beers. You can see photos of the tap room. I think I saw on the website there. Go check it all out. And Bevo is pouring us some more of their wonderful beer. You guys are off to a good start. That I just want to say it again, that IPA, man. Gosh, that's good.
Glad you like it.
Teresa, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, okay. That is her name.
Word.
Yeah, right.
It's
on her shirt.
I read it off the shirt. Yeah, yeah. Okay. When I was looking at her boob, I read her name.
It's just the one, though. That was, how it's
going to go. Yeah. Just the one name, also.
Just that one name.
Yeah. You know, Teresa, I'm going to expect you to bring us some beer, too, when you come down to the show. I also like your beer.
I put some beer on here, and I was like, oh, 90% here, and I was like, heck, I didn't bring any beer.
Oops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, Crooked Lane.
Because I have some good beer to bring. So I'll definitely have to come back next week.
Let me just make another note in your file here, Teresa.
Yeah, okay. So I got a plus and I got a minus.
That's no true. Oh, well. Beer.
She brought me beer.
God, I'm freaking underlined. Double check that. No beer. No beer for Justin.
Yeah. Specifically. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we're going to try some more beer from Bearlick, but we mentioned before the break that you guys are the largest self-distributed brewery in Portland.
Right.
I find this interesting because, well, you guys just seem to have kind of a stance on self-distributing. Like, the whole deal now is that it seems like very quickly brewers want to get out of the self-distribution game, and you seem the opposite about that.
Yeah, at this point, it's kind of from our cold, dead hands. I mean, not only are the revenues obviously better, the control, cold chain, you know, the relationships we have with our customers is better and just tighter.
Right. And you're self-distributing all the way down to Eugene, too?
Correct.
Okay. All right.
So we have two full-time sales staff and a full-time driver.
Okay. Oh, that driver gets around.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just thinking you'd need more.
Yes, we are currently working on expanding that. I mean, that's just grown.
How many barrels of beer are you making, selling a year?
We'll probably get to 2,500, hopefully, this year.
Okay, yeah. Not a small amount. Okay. Wow, and all self-distributed.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what about when you want to expand further? I mean, is there a point in your business life that you do see the value in a distributor?
I think so. Yeah, okay. I have no beef with distributors. I think the distribution system is broken. I mean, personally.
Yeah.
With franchise law in the state of Oregon.
Tell me about that. What do you think is broken?
If we were to sign with a distributor, it would be near impossible to get out of that relationship, no matter how successful they are being for us.
Okay.
And on top of that, we'd probably have to have our own sales staff, you know, just kind of reinforcements.
So what's the fucking point?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
So at that point, you had a van and you know, a young strapping person to lift heavy stuff, then we can control it in-house.
Well, and let's be honest, too, even just with, you know, we've been talking about the competition in Portland, right? If you're just another beer in a portfolio, I'm saying that that's difficult even when the portfolio isn't that big.
Right.
Never mind a market like that.
Right.
Right.
And that was our big fear, you know, signing with the distributor. We get lost in the book. They have, you know, and we're seeing a lot of consolidation in distributorships in Oregon. Mm-hmm. So there's becoming fewer and fewer and more, you know, thicker books.
Yeah. Our friends from Flat Tail were telling us some horror stories.
That was a great show.
Right?
I stopped what I was doing and listened to that show for 2 hours, which is amazing.
Yeah. That poor guy got so fucked. By the way, more than once, right?
Yep.
Like, what is it about the contracts that they're so hard to get out of? Is it just that state law really favors the distributor?
Yes. It's all state related, so every state is a bit different. In Oregon, the kind of the out clause is you have to be able to sell your rights for fair market value. So even if that's a predetermined amount, so if you sign a contract for fair market value and you say it's worth this much, at the end of the day, in statute, the franchise law states that the distributor can basically decide what that value is.
Wow.
So at the last minute, they can. There's been some precedent in court cases.
It's like the worst idea ever.
Yeah.
Which it sounds very like anti-Oregon, right? You think of Oregon as kind of laid back and, you know, sort of liberal.
People friendly.
Right, right, right. You know, hating on Californians because they want to do too much and whatever. And then they just end up getting, they fuck over their own
right.
people.
Right, yeah.
California does that.
But it is a broken system for sure. Yeah. I mean, it, especially for small breweries. It doesn't make sense to me that a 1,500 barrel brewery has a distributor.
Yeah.
I know the math, that the margins aren't there, you know, and that's not really successful.
And there are other examples of like a hybrid, right? Like Russian River is a great example where they self-distribute in Northern California and then they use distributors for elsewhere.
Yep. And Ninkasi does that. They self-distribute in Eugene area and then outside of that they...
And you're right about...
If you guys were to do that, would you go by that model where you...
I mean, at this point... In our business, we're trying to, you know, go deeper than rather than wider.
Yeah.
You know, so really get into more accounts. I think we have a lot of opportunity in Portland Metro and then the Willamette Valley, I think. At this point in time, it's not really on our radar.
So do you think that maybe, especially because of those laws that aren't really in your favor, that you would always distribute the entire state of Oregon and only sign with a distributor when you're ready to leave the state?
Sure. Yeah. And that's up to 7,500 barrels. State law right now is 7,500 barrel cap on self-distribution.
And then you have to sign.
Jesus. What the fuck?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, again, you wouldn't think of that from a state like Oregon.
Yeah. Well, you can't pump your own gas there. So
right.
Careful.
I thought you could. Now.
Good point.
No, only in small communities, less than like 40,000 people or something.
And
like
it's only at certain times a day, but I also really don't like getting out of my car. So.
Are you like born and raised Oregon?
No, I'm from Arizona originally, but.
Okay.
Like, if it's.
You know, it's a luxury.
It's great. You know, it's raining.
Yeah.
In case you haven't heard, it rains in Oregon.
Yeah.
I don't have to get out of my car. It's nice and warm.
It's the pampered lifestyle that every transplant.
Let me ask you, though. I need an insider tip here. Like, am I supposed to tip, though? Do you have to tip those gas stations?
No. It's built in the price.
It's just part of the deal. Yeah. JP knows.
I know. I do know.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
It just seems odd
to me.
It's
built in, right?
Their wage. It was originally employment scheme and like, you know, try to raise employment in the state.
Okay.
Oh, how communist for Portland. Yeah. For Oregon.
I think I would make a good gas station attendant.
No, you'd be terrible.
No.
You'd be terrible.
You'd be pumping very little gas. A lot of chatting, not a lot of pumping.
Yeah.
Can I adjust your headlight? And you'd just be squatting in front having a smoke. All right, I did it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
How's your oil level?
Gas pump in one hand, cigarette in the other.
Right.
Yeah. I always forget and I jump out of the car and I'm like looking, trying to figure out where to put my credit card, and some dude is standing there. I'm just like, what do you want?
Yeah. He's like, I want your credit card.
Right.
Yeah. It is very strange.
Even with RVs, that seems problematic when you get to the larger vehicle.
Yeah, it does seem problematic.
There are certain carve-outs, like if you have a motorcycle or a diesel vehicle, you can pump your own.
It would be weird pumping another man's gas into the tank on a bike that they're straddling.
While they're sitting there. Yeah.
Right. It's a little close for comfort.
A little small talk. So, how are your leathers feeling today?
So, eyes always this blue?
Yeah.
I would just have a drain at the bottom of the tank, go around the corner, drain it out, and come back.
Yeah, right.
I need a friend.
I don't know, you know.
So are you into denim, or that's just a joke? All these conversations would be happening at this gas tank. All right, what beer is it? I want to talk more about distribution, too, but what's our next beer, Bevo? What did you pour us here?
We have Bretto de Milo, I think.
Yep, okay. Is that what I have on my left here?
That would be on the left, yeah.
No, I had mine on the right, so...
Got
it. The clearer one.
The darker one is marshmallow.
So the lighter one?
The one that smells like gin is marshmallow. Yeah.
What the fuck is going on here? The clearer one. The same opacity, goddammit.
We've got the bear on the microphone now, too. That's who was just educating us about gasoline in Oregon. So why don't you tell us about this beer, please?
So when we kind of started messing around with barrel-fermented saisons a little over a year ago, And we were trying to use whatever yeast was available. We weren't really honed in on one certain flavor profile. And we kind of enjoyed a mostly pills, a little bit of rye, malt bill, and really felt that rustic saison yeast from Imperial was great flavor. Mm-hmm. But Ben and I both really love Saison DuPont. Like, yeah. Everybody does.
Good beer, yeah.
And as a lot of brewers know, it's not the easiest yeast to work with.
The worst.
Is it?
Yeah. So
what's hard about it?
It just goes through a stall period. Okay. Like, it just kind of like, no, I'm going to hang out and sit at like 8 Play-Doh for maybe a week, maybe a month.
So it just kind of scares the shit out of you for a minute. Okay.
Yeah. So with the barrel ferment, we were kind of wondering, you know, with the extra access to oxygen, maybe it could follow a more normal fermentation timeline.
Okay.
So we have 6 barrels that we use for our barrel fermented program. We inoculated 5 of them with the standard rustic that we use, and then 1 with filibuster is what they call it at Imperial, and just to see what happens. Mm. And no matter what we did to it, it stalled just like it always does.
Okay.
We put the rest of those barrels into a bright tank, kegged it, and called it our regular Milo. Milo's are just our name for our barrel fermented Saison series.
Okay.
And we just had this other barrel of Saison sitting around, and finally DuPont did what it does, and it finally finished out at about, you know, 0 Play-Doh, and we kind of thought, well, what do we do with this?
Okay.
This gives us an opportunity to do something completely different than what we normally do with Milo.
Yeah.
And about the same time, we were also running through some just re-yeasting trials for bottle conditioning, and found that we can get a lot of, or a fair amount of Brett character in just re-yeasting with Brett.
As opposed to like Brett in a barrel.
Right.
Oh, interesting.
And
okay.
Able to kind of keep it a little cleaner in the process and still get some Brett character. So we racked this down into a couple of kegs, added priming sugar, re-yeasted with Brett, and then immediately bottled it.
So all the Brett character in this beer in my glass is just from priming?
Just from, bottle condition only.
Because it's a significant amount of character. Right.
It was really surprising when we first started with it.
Yeah. More than we thought, for sure.
And
how long did it take to bottle condition that?
I think we were actually getting normal amounts of carbonation in about a week.
Really?
And even at that point, the Brett was expressing itself.
Yeah. Could you rely on normal sugar charging, like the amount of sugar you're adding to CO2 volume?
So I added sugar if I was going to try to get around like 2.6 volumes, mm-hmm. knowing that the Brett was going to keep chewing through and not really knowing where the break point is on this bottle, mm-hmm. just kind of shot low. And right. You know, if it goes up to 3.5, that I know that bottle can handle it.
Right.
But kind of like letting the Brett figure out where it wants to settle out.
Wow.
Did you do any tests to see how far that was off or accurate?
I haven't yet. I have a buddy who's got a bottle Zom, and I'd be interested to see where it's at now. We still have another 5 cases warm conditioning, and grab one of those and see where it's at.
Hmm. I like it. It's not as horse blankety.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So as this is Brooks, so it's going to be a little more clean and
fruit forward,
a little bubble gum, things like that.
Okay, got it. Yeah. So I was thinking maybe that was just the nature of only using as priming and not in a barrel, but it's just the different strain.
I would say, yeah, but okay. Probably a mixture of both.
Because it's a pretty clean Brett flavor, mm-hmm. but it is clearly there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What a great find that you don't have to let it sit in a barrel. Yeah. You can just get this character by priming.
Yeah, we are... All 3 of us were really, really stoked on this beer, and I'm really proud of it.
Ooh. You should be. This is a great beer. We have I don't know if we have it in our glass yet, but we've got the regular Milo, too, right. Which is just a Saison, right?
Yeah, so all oak fermented Saison, so all in wine barrels.
And this was oak fermented as well, and then but just the primed with... Well, okay, got it. Well, I'll be interested to try that one later, too, but to me, Brett makes almost everything better.
Yeah. With your barrel-fermented beers, are you adding yeast at this point, or are you just kind of racking out and then racking fresh wort into them?
We're still adding yeast. I after we get done emptying out the barrels, I'll rinse them out and then like nuke them with hot liquor. Kind of, sort of sanitizing, but not adding any chemicals.
Just knocking everything back to an even playing field. And then we do a primary with whatever strain we're thinking of now. We've got probably six different that we've fermented in the four to six?
4 to 6 at least that have gone through these barrels. Through so these barrels. They're probably hiding in there somewhere.
Yeah, so we get kind of a blend, you know, a blend of expression from whatever's happening in, you know, whatever's in the barrels.
Got it.
Yeah. On top of the primary pitch.
Have you made any denim vest jackets for your barrels?
Yes.
You have? Several.
No.
Because I feel like you should.
We haven't done it. There's an artisan who comes in Thursday with recycled denim.
Reclaimed. Portland denim.
Yes, on Etsy. Etsy.com/barrel. Yes, barrel David.
Corner of the brewery full of denim sleeves that...
Yes, just the rest.
Right. I don't know what to do with these.
Why did they even come with these? Right, it's ridiculous. Right. What were these ever for?
Right.
Nothing I like more than wasted product packaging. Yeah. Jesus.
You know, or like a bottle jacket or something. I'm just trying to help you out. Little branding ideas here. That's all. Yeah.
Denim koozies.
That is a work in progress.
They need help from us. That's right. Yeah.
Denim koozies is a great idea. Yeah. You're working on that one already? That's pretty fantastic.
We have our fifth anniversary coming up in June, and we're attempting the largest gathering of denim vest enthusiasts.
Yeah.
So
I love this. Yeah. What's the date in June?
June 29th would be a Saturday, late in June.
Same day as our anniversary party. I can't make it.
Do you have a denim vest?
I have a denim jacket. I'd have to rip off the sleeves.
Right. That's an easy conversion.
Well, let's be honest. You're not ripping shit. You're going to cut the sleeves.
True.
I would love to see you try to rip denim. Oh,
it's thick denim, too. It's like a good... Yeah. Yeah. All right, what's this next beer with its strange name, right?
Harshmallow Mountain, yeah.
Harshmallow Mountain.
Yeah, that's when you go back to our ignorance in the beer industry. No one's ever called this anything other than Marshmallow Mountain for obvious reasons. So this is part of our Woodworker series. So anything we put in oak is part of our Woodworker series.
Okay.
In this case, this is started as a Belgian Golden Strong. It went into second-use gin barrels. We threw Brett Brooks at it, and then at Terminal, at that point, we dry hopped it with Ella Hops, and then packaged it. We blended a little bit of fresh beer, so it's partially bottle conditioned.
Wow. It's a lot to it.
There's a lot, yeah.
JP, you pick up gin barrel in that at all? I figured this one might be up here. I do.
Yeah?
But also because I fucking hate gin.
Right. So, I get the botanicals in that.
Yeah, it just stands out to me. It's a great beer, actually. I don't mind but I definitely can pick it out because it's some of the things. What is it? Juniper and...
Coriander and juniper are the main two.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about this is we had every intention of having a clean slate on these barrels. We got them from a brewery in Portland called Gigantic. You guys probably know.
Oh, yeah.
Sell their stuff. They do Pipe Wrench. They're gin barrel aged double IPA. We just wanted some vessels. We got them from them. We rinsed them out, I don't know, 7 or 8 times trying to, you know, we just really rinse them. And then we laid this beer down, and gin is the gift that keeps on giving.
I think it's a nice addition to it, actually.
Yeah, it's definitely not overpowering in any way. Right.
No. Yeah, it's very good. Yeah, it's hard for me to pick it out, which is... I would think it would only help matters. Right.
Yeah, as a super palate, I'm shocked that you haven't picked it out.
Mainly because I hadn't tasted it really, and then Jay asked me, and then I said no, and then I tasted it again, then I really did taste it, but I didn't want to sound like that I'm just parrot. So it's a whole thing. Okay. Man. Yeah, I'm virtue.
Jesus, I have to start a note page for JP.
Sorry for pulling back the curtain. Yeah, that's right. I'm virtue signaling. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
JP notes. Shut up. There we go. Okay. We'll review that later.
All right, let's do that. On our bicentennial review.
Exactly. On our 14th anniversary review.
Yeah. Perfect. I'll be at home. It'll be great. You'll have a good review.
Yeah. I like this beer, and I'm okay with the gin flavor.
Yeah. It's definitely not overpowering, and it blends with the Brett really nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big fan of Ella Hops, and I don't see it very often, so I'm glad that you guys
really
named
two of their albums, dude.
Ella Hops is a band?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Now, more importantly, the bear, I want to point out, is wearing an old school lunch meat
There we go, baby.
Right?
And I think it's a Hanes beefy tea. Like, that's like the original.
Yeah. That was designed by Blobber Glop himself.
True.
Our
no.
Branding genius.
No, that was not. That was Andrew.
Oh, Andy Wood?
No. Andrew started with a Z.
Okay.
Blobber did the second one.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So because of the show that shall not be named, Lunch Meat.
Thank you.
Well, you just did it.
And I know. I'm
tripping over.
Yeah.
And I was an avid listener.
Wow.
I now inadvertently have a unicorn and rainbow collection in my house that my wife keeps moving around.
Moving around, like as in into the garbage?
Yeah. Yes.
No, like, your wife keeps moving around? What's his name?
Casey.
Okay. Oh, shit. That works too good.
She works at Imperial Yeast and was like, you're a sponsor for...
That Casey?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's my wife.
Oh, nice.
What about the Brewing Power Family? Yeah. That's awesome.
She's wonderful. They are a brand new sponsor on the Brewing Network this month on our new show, Hop and Brew School Podcast.
Man, I've been chasing them for 3 years.
Yeah.
pisses me the fuck off.
I know.
Oh, I hate that shit.
You can never seal the deal.
No, I can't. That's what I get for talking to what's his name.
Casey's Casey? A lovely person. I'm surprised that she's with you.
So am I.
Okay, so she's known about us through you for a while.
A long time, yeah.
Okay. You weren't just a lunch meat listener. You listened to the other shows, I assume.
So I ran a homebrew shop for years, and one of my coworkers introduced me to you guys on show 12.
Okay. Long time ago, yeah.
Yeah, went back, listened through all of it. Wow. Took it as, like, the Jamil show as gospel and, you know, got my BJCP, you know, got an 80 on the written on the BJCP test because of all that stuff. And,
yeah. Excellent.
Is that
this is awesome.
What is that? I don't know.
It's a proud moment here. I think so. JP got like an 8.
Right. No, I think I got like a 70. I did really well on the, 79. On the written. I think it was something right there, like that, honestly.
Yeah. Okay.
I actually could have been 60.
Yeah, mine was like
60. Right.
Yeah, like who knows?
Rick
who
with a K track? Got a 67.
Like, yeah. Track of shit.
68 of those points were because
spell
he spelled
your
his name
wrong.
Wrong?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. well, that's excellent. I've not seen a lunch meat shirt in quite some time, so I figured we'd talk about us for a little while.
Yeah, well, why not? Yeah. We've never done that before.
That's the fun stuff to do. We got more beer to try, though, because I know we usually kind of keep it to two per segment, but you guys came down with more, and I want to try more. Is it in here, or you have to go? Bevo has to go get it?
I can go grab it. I can grab glassware anyway.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that. Let's try some more beer.
All the beers.
Yeah, excellent. Okay, let's do more of that. I guess we could take a break while we get some more beer coming in here. It's going to be our last break of the show, though, so that means we're going to have to do some transitioning in the middle of the radio. Is that okay with everybody? Because we've got Roger Davis is out there. He's going to come in and talk about Brewbies, which is a great event that's coming up. So why don't we do this? We'll take a real quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk more to Bear Lake. Before we do that, go to beersmith.com. You can go to beersmith.com right now, get your free 21-day trial, so you don't have to take my word for it. They're up to version 3 right now, and Brad Smith over there really knows what he's doing. They got an online recipe database of over 700,000 recipes. If you're brewing at high altitude, like it has things that you don't even think you need. It's got boil adjustments for high altitude, streamlined interface that hides unneeded data when brewing. Go to beersmith.com and check it out right now. Get your free 21-day trial, and don't take my word for it. All right, hang in there. It's the session. We'll be right back after this.
Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Check out their brand new patent-pending mash and boil 110-volt electric mashing and boiling unit. This compact all-stainless unit lets you mash, sparge, and boil just about anywhere that has a 110-volt plug. Double wall construction adds to efficiency and safety, and a precise thermostat keeps temperatures where you want them. Unlike insulated buckets and converted coolers, multiple temperatures temperature rest mashing is easy to do, all for under $300. They also feature the Mark II work pump, a magnetic drive high temperature pump that does the work of pumps that cost twice as much, as well as exclusive Brewer's Edge regulators and quality Keg King kegs and disconnects. Check them out today at williamsbrewing.com to brew their vast selection.
This is Corey King from Side Project Brewing, and you're listening to The Session on the Brewing Network.
There's murder all around you, on the streets and in the skies.
All right, welcome back to the program. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We got more beer in our glass from Bearlick Brewing Company. I've got a Kvik.
Kvik?
Kvik?
I think it's pronounced
If only there was a video we could listen to.
I should probably be careful how,
I think I have that. Wait, we had that. Remember we had that pronunciation clip? I think I have that. Let's see. So it's going to work. Nothing.
No?
I should probably hit the right button.
Yeah.
Oh.
Let's try again.
Kvik.
Do you guys play the song in your tap room every time somebody orders it?
Yes.
You should.
But you should. Kvik. And then,
my favorite part about the pronunciation is he gets the full breathe in.
Right.
Kvik. Kvik.
Every can comes with a song.
God damn.
Do you have to linger? He's like, Kvik.
Yeah, I think you do.
Yeah.
Kvik.
Yeah, Kvik.
Well, that way you can hear the depression.
Right. It's a little bit like he can't be bothered, but I don't know.
Yeah.
He should be a little more enthusiastic.
Right.
If he asked me.
Like the song that follows. Yes. That's very, very enthusiastic. This is our new session intro, by the way. Yeah. You know, that feedback email earlier was asking about us changing it. Consider it changed. Yeah. All right, tell me about this Kvik.
So this this was a collaboration that we did for Shiru Festival, which is an all-female brewers festival in Portland. So we partnered with a couple of women from Imperial Yeast and a really good account of ours, ABV, is a tap room. And our brewer, Emily, conspired for this beer. So we call it a rustic pale. It's the Norwegian Kvik strain. Can ferment like 60 to 95. Which is,
what did you ferment at?
What did we ferment this
time? We knocked out at 80 and just let it go.
Wow.
Yeah. We did another batch with this yeast that we knocked out at 90 and let it go. And it was, all it did was push more fruit.
Yeah.
Like it was
okay.
Like all the things that you think about yeast getting in that that temperature range, none of it happened. It was just like more fruit.
Interesting. Would it ferment at lower temperatures, or does it have to be warm? It will.
Yeah.
But then what? Just to have a reduced character?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. It's completely like almost backwards of how it works. Like I believe it's a little bit more phenolic at lower temperatures, but I'm not. You know, I haven't messed around with it personally, so I'm not 100% certain.
Anecdotal. I've heard that. Yeah.
Is it a style that used to be around that just hasn't been until now? I don't understand.
I think if you're going for a Norwegian farmhouse, you're thinking that originated from somewhere. This particular yeast strain is more just kind of being used for other things. In this case, we kind of built a pale ale, and we was a Strata, Eldorado, a little bit of Nelson, and Galaxy.
Okay.
Super delicate on all of those, but really trying to find something that's a little, what we call a rustic pale ale, something that's kind of a little farmy, but still kind of playing off that hop character.
Yeah, because I guess farmy and farmhouse-ish is a descriptor. It's not horse blanket. It's not those types of things.
Which one is it? Is it the clear one or the...
The cloudier one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I switched to our order here. I went to the Kvik.
Kvik.
So, I don't like the aroma. I'm not a fan. And I wasn't a fan of the other one that I tried either. Luckily, though, the aroma is not in the flavor of the beer. I could definitely drink a pint of this.
Luckily for them.
Yeah,
it's a little maybe meaty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe if you had to sit here and figure it out, which is maybe like a yeast thing. I don't know, but
yeah,
it's definitely a yeast character.
But the hops in there, in the aroma, kind of help cover any meatiness, and so it's a delicate flavor for me.
I like it. It's a really light beer, right? Like, it just, yep. I mean, it just tastes light. It tastes like a light beer. Like, I could have this next to the dad's beer. Yeah, right. That kind of, that's what I mean by, like, really light, you know, kind of thin on the palate. Definitely some farmy character, you're right, which is good. Otherwise, it would just, it would be a little too watery, right? So the yeast adds that.
If you love Brett, this is the beer.
You think so?
Yeah, I really do.
Kind of leans that way. It's just Brett adjacent. Funky.
Yeah.
Did you guys find this beer and the yeast is just that resistant?
Very lightly fine.
Yeah.
More just let it drop out.
Yeah.
Did you brew it to be lazy? Or did you brew it because you were interested in the, yeah, I'm kind of asking a serious question, like, because you don't have to do much. You just fucking put it in the fermenter, let it go. Or were you interested in the style?
So, like Ben was saying, we partnered with these other great women in the industry.
I
told my brewer, Emily, like, you guys figure it out. Like, what do you want to taste? What do you want to... And, like, collaborate with each other. So this is... you know, Ben, Rick, and I had very little to do with this beer.
I see. Okay.
Really wanting to let them... Their opinions about beer and their flavors shine through.
Right. Way to mansplain it to the women.
Or to me, really.
You guys figure it out.
I think we need to coin the term women's...
Well, mansplain.
Women'splain, but it's going to have to be a different word.
Because that's not very catchy.
That's not very, no.
No.
Not very catchy.
Right.
How about on that. Here, go with me.
Go.
Wee Mansplain, and it's a beer dedicated to Wee Man from Jackass. What do you think? You guys ready?
No. I don't know.
Wee Mansplain.
Or she-splaining.
I think Jackass is as old as the denim jacket. It's part of the problem with that joke.
That's true, I know. No, that's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Because what's old is new again.
Were they happy with how it came out?
Yeah.
They shouldn't be. I'm just curious.
Those
people.
Those partial
Emily,
humans.
Emily was really proud of how this beer turned out. She... it's still probably her go-to when we get done with the shift is to get that. And that was, you know, her name coming up with it, because she felt like a bond of, like, with these other women. And
what's the name again?
Spring Break Squad. So, like, they got together and they're going to go have fun, and it was released in March. So
right. Squad. I like it. Yeah, I could drink a pint of this one. Beardy, you were saying, I think, at the break that you've only had a couple good versions, and this might be one of them.
Yes, yeah. I've had at least a dozen different Quebec beers.
You have?
Yeah.
Quebec.
And this is the second beer that I've had that I would actually get a pint
Quebec.
Of.
I didn't really want to hear you.
No, yeah. I would much rather hear this SoundCloud
artist.
Honestly, I am happy for your ladies because they chose something that's challenging. It's not like you can just dial it in and just expect it to go well. Like, this is kind of a risky thing to do, and I think they did a phenomenal job.
And nailed it.
And it was, She Brew, the beer festival, it's like all women brewers, and I had a lot of people come up to me when I was there just trying everything, saying that they really enjoyed it and really thought that the women that brewed with us made a really good, bold choice.
Yeah.
Well,
good for them.
I give them my seal of approval.
There we go.
I'll pass it along.
Wow, her first show, she already has a seal.
You know how long I've been lobbying for just here. A flag or some sort of some way to leave a mark,
smoke signal.
I'd I don't need a seal, that. But
put in my notes
a
here.
Scratch and some
presumptuous.
Adobe.
Somewhat self-important.
I like it. The Teresa seal.
Should I have my raven deliver this opinion to you?
I think the interview is going great, Teresa. I haven't checked in a while. How do you feel the show's going for you?
Oh, I'm dynamite. What can I say?
Great.
Love it.
That's what I expected out of you. All right. We've got time for one more beer, which is in our glass, luckily. And then we gotta get moving because we got to talk about brewbies here in just a minute. But what's the last beer we get to try with you guys today?
So this is the base of the Brett de Milo. So this is the Milo Saison.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
100% oak fermented. Like Steven said earlier, it's more or less a house sack Saison culture. So we have at least four or five strains in there that are kind of living in the barrel, and then we do kind of a heavy on the primary pitch. So it's all ambient temperature, open.
Mm.
And
the only difference between this and the Bretta version is that the Bretta is a bottle condition with Brett.
Right.
That's other correct. Than that, the beer is the same.
Exactly the same beer.
Because they're so different.
Very different. Yeah.
Down to the mouthfeel, which I would have thought, okay, like flavors can be different. You get that. But even the mouthfeel is very different from the Brett version than this one. It's great saison.
I feel like we're getting a nice vanilla character from the oak that is just barely coming through in a nice kind of tannic dryness.
Yeah.
It's kind of helping clean it up in the end. But super expressive and I think more complex than the primary strain we're throwing at it.
There's okay.
Some other things, you know, whatever previous strains we've used that are kind of.
Yeah. There's a little like really subtle banana that comes through in the nose. It doesn't come through in the Brett one. It's kind of covered up there.
Does this also finish at zero?
Yeah.
Just about, yeah.
Wow. Oh my goodness. I wouldn't guess that dry.
No.
No, really? It doesn't come off that dry at all.
No.
I feel like the oak's playing a component in that.
Okay.
Yeah. And some of the banana, too, I think might be some implied sweetness.
Yeah.
There. You think so? Yeah. Okay.
So how are you guys processing this beer post-barrel? Is it getting into a tank to...
Yeah, back into a bright tank. I don't think we've ever fined this beer.
No.
Really?
Yeah, that's...
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Because the Bretta version is cloudy.
Yeah, and that was kicked up probably as travel. So
okay.
Bored, you know, really carefully.
Yeah. So do you think that normally these would both look almost identical?
Pretty close, I think.
Yeah. I see.
Yeah, if you're pouring with the knowledge that it's bottle conditioned and you...
So Bevo fucked up, Bevo. Is what you're saying.
No, I'm not. I'm saying that we put it in the back of a truck and drove a...
Yeah,
like
and your California
miles.
Roads aren't so...
No. No, we have to pump our own fucking gas.
Right.
Our roads are awful.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but at least we don't have a standard minimum or maximum before self-distribution.
Take that. You guys have that on us, for sure.
If the state of Oregon would give me a microphone, I would have dropped it by now.
She did leave a little at the bottom. I'm just evaluating your 14 years of doing this and whether or not you can pour she's just looking at me like I should die.
Yeah. And I can tell you what she would say. Well, she'll then find someone else to do it.
Bevo, honestly, did you, when you poured this beer, did you factor in, I should pour it because there's like sediment at the bottom, or did you just dump it into a glass?
Brain.
I'm genuinely asking. No. Use your microphone. Use your words.
Sorry, I don't have headphones, so I forgot I could use a microphone because I've only been doing this for 14 years. No, I'm pretty. I kind of do this with all of the beers. Like I try to keep them at least at a little bit of an angle.
You do.
I really do.
Okay. No, I'm asking a genuine question because I don't watch you. I don't pay attention. So
I don't
mean to be.
The bear watched.
Did I do okay?
It was great. Yeah, it was.
Thank you.
Very, very.
We approve of
okay.
you.
So Rick with a K is right, then. It's the bumpy road.
It's your goddamn California.
Or, I don't mean to be the guy with the broken eyes, but this is the Brett Saison, Justin. Look how clear that bottle is.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, right.
Bevo did fuck it up.
She did. Yeah, that's super clear.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the bottles was...
You were holding up the wrong bottle.
Honestly, that's also a thing, too, and they carried the cooler for me, and...
It's not your fault.
Whatever.
Don't go passing the buck. Yeah.
You have an opener? That is a cap on that also.
Yeah.
Do I need to see that for you?
See, in my 14 years, I can't even open a fucking bottle.
Hey, there we go.
If only you had a producer for that.
The truth reveals itself.
I'll still find
it.
I'm
just going to foam because you just tilt it. Right. I mean, everyone here is trying.
All right. This is looking clear. It's looking nice and clear.
Mine was clear. I don't know why.
Was yours?
Well, the first one was.
The first one is always clear. The problem is that you can't, like, pour without moving the bottle around.
Here, take it away from me.
Mixing happens. And
okay. I'm spending a lot of time on the clarity of this beer, but I'm just curious. Just because everything's so similar except for just that one, that Brett character. Okay. But back to Teresa's question. So it goes into a bright tank.
Yep.
Right? For how long?
Enough to carbonate.
Just enough to carbonate?
Carbonate and package.
And that's it. And that's it. Okay.
Yeah.
No other processing required.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, they're all wonderful beers, boys. Awesome. And I want to thank you guys for coming all the way down here with them. And I mean that. I'm really enjoying these beers.
Awesome.
Good job.
Thank you.
I want to go back to that IPA even. And I rarely do that.
No.
You know? But I'm ready.
It's like a strong pale ale, though.
Yes.
At 6.2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of want a six-pack of it tonight.
I'd... Can we get 2 6-packs of that? Can you go back up?
Yeah.
Just real quick?
Yeah.
We'll be at Vinny's. We'll go hang out at the dive bar and wait for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Just get back.
20 hours.
Whatever you do, don't leave before we get back.
Right. We'll be the longest time I've ever spent at Vinny's, I'll tell you right now.
They lock up with us inside now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They're okay with us.
Yeah. We just, it's cheap rent. Okay. Beav, why don't we go ahead and get Roger in here, Roger and Mel, I think, from Brewbies to talk about that. But I want to thank you guys again so much. Hang out because we're not entirely done, but we might dick around again at the end of the show.
We'd like to say hello to everybody in Portland and also to one very specific person. We'd like to say check you later.
All right. There you go. A little shout out. You guys are welcome to hang in here or out there, but don't leave the premises because I might pull you all back in just to say goodbye at the end of the program, if you don't mind. In the meantime, we're going to talk amongst ourselves while Bevo gets... Roger Davis from Faction, as well as Mel, to talk about the Brewbies event that is coming up, a great fundraiser that they do. So I'm excited to hear about that.
Hopefully he puts his pants on.
Yeah. We'll find
shorts,
out.
Shorts. I don't think he's ever worn pants once.
Short pants.
Yeah, yeah. He would go to a funeral in black Dockers or whatever they are.
That's a good point. I'm trying to remember if I've ever seen him in pants.
And you would think he wears exclusively pants because his legs are so pale.
Right.
But he doesn't.
He doesn't stays inside all day.
He's just indoors all day.
He's really just in the brewery all of the time.
I'm just inside.
Come just on in, Mel. Make yourself comfortable. And I guess we'll probably wait on Roger. Hopefully he's putting pants on or something. Why don't you jump right over, over here. We'll put you next to JP. Sorry about that.
Just walk in the other direction.
But, that's just the way it goes. It's time for me to go. I got to go to the park.
Yeah. Came all the way out here.
Yeah, I'm fine. Is it time?
But Melanie is here. So
hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
It's nice to see you.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to
the
program.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So it's Brewbies time again.
It is.
Yeah, which is exciting.
I know. It feels weird. It totally crept up.
How many years will this be?
This is the fourth year that we've done it at Faction, but overall it's been 10.
10 years.
Wow.
10 years. Yeah.
Where was it before that?
I still do it in San Diego.
That's right.
Started at a Pizza Port, and then the last 6 years has been at Bagby.
Okay, got it.
So, yeah.
Very nice, very nice. Okay, so 5 years up here in the Bay.
Four.
This will be five.
No, this will be the fourth.
This is the fourth. Okay, got it. All right, the fourth annual.
12 years.
Do you know how much, do you have an idea how much money you guys have raised over the years?
Yeah, we've raised over like $500,000.
Really?
Wow.
Ooh, that's impressive.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah.
I love it. I'm starting now. Last time we talked, last time we did this, we talked a lot about male breast cancer too, didn't we? Didn't you like teach us to test ourselves?
Oh, that's right.
I literally just showed Justin at the bar. Excuse me, Jason.
Jason,
at the bar,
yeah.
Oh, cool.
Look, I just pulled it up. I have it right here. It's a picture of all of us doing check yourselves.
Oh, that's right.
There you go.
And
ironically, Tasty's
there.
And
Tasty's
there.
Wow. Yes,
he's not very good at it.
No, he didn't.
He didn't find it. Themselves. That's awesome.
Did Jason? Now Jason's our bartender, of course. Did he test himself right behind the bar?
No, I'll give him like the full rundown. You know,
got it.
When we're done,
that might have been the last time I checked.
Right.
That was, whatever that was.
That was 2 years ago. You're supposed to do it every month.
Oh God.
Well,
Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm behind.
I don't even change the filters on like any
on your Brita.
Yeah. I don't do any like home maintenance once.
Oh, right. I just don't want to. My side has been hurting, like in my kidney area, for like a month. I'm not going to get that shit checked out.
A good way to detect that is if you have worn Kiss It. Where it hurts, just gently kiss
the boo boo.
And
if it goes away, it's not cancer. Is that what you're saying?
Well, with the lips, you'll be able to detect it.
Oh, he can.
We'll get together after the show.
I think we should do that on air.
I agree.
Mel. See, Mel's a good producer already.
Let's go ahead and be real awkward right now. Thank you.
This is an audio medium.
Kiss my side. Roger Davis has made it his way into the studio.
God bless. Look at how much gray.
I know. All of us, though.
Fucking dick.
Are we allowed to swear?
Fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He looks less homeless without his
beanie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Roger, do you remember when we met?
If you can fuck off any quicker, it'd be great.
When we met, I don't think either one of us had a single gray hair on our bodies.
I had one down below.
You did? You just had that one?
Now we're talking about your body.
Just one. Yeah. And it spreads.
Boy, how times have changed. I think Roger wears it well, though. He looks debonair.
He looks,
JP,
maniacal.
Shut the fuck up, man.
He looks sort of like Manson does.
What you're
going
to say.
There's
this looks crazy.
There's that. That word for that, it's a silver fox.
He's a silver fox.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say old.
Yeah. I feel like JP and I are, we just look more homeless at the grayer we go. Yeah.
Roger's, he's like the silver fox. Predator. I don't know. I don't think that, like...
Oh my god.
This is why I'm like not allowed on the show. I'm like, Evo, can I please come on?
She's
like,
me again?
I know. He had to probably tried to warn
you. That Roger guy, right. You?
Yeah.
He had to bring his own beer.
Yeah, he brought fashion
can't drink
pills.
The shit around here.
Yeah, he's like,
oh my god.
He's like, I only
did you
only
really
trust
bring your
need.
Own beer?
Dude, we just started canning today.
Okay,
where's
what?
Where's ours?
We did really you? Brought it to share. There's some in the cold box.
Okay. No, actually, yay. We didn't bring it to share. We brought it to.
To wink.
Yeah. And then take back with us.
See, no, I would invite you back, but it sounds like Roger's not going to invite you back.
Yeah.
No.
We didn't bring it to share. We brought it to test our distribution and how well our beer travels. Right. So we're going to bring it back with us.
And it turns out it's not good. So.
Oh, my God.
Well, we all knew that before you canned it.
This is actually how I found out that you were on the show.
Fucking douchebag, JP.
I didn't even know you were on the show, Roger, until your sales dude showed up and was mad because he's like, oh, I was going to bring you pills, but then Roger said he's bringing you pills. And I was like, Roger who?
Roger, your pill
and
guy.
He said,
your plug.
That's my coding, bitch.
I already stocked up yesterday. Yeah. I don't have any more money.
Oxyhydracona days.
Yeah.
I need it for my life.
Anyway, that's how I found out you're going to be on the show tonight, is he told me.
I'm sorry to hear that.
That's okay. All right, let's do this.
Because I never get invited. I have to just show up.
Oh, my God.
Basically.
You're always invited. Not really.
Careful what you say.
See you next week.
All right. Let's just get the info out first, before we dick around too much. But Brewby's event is happening at Faction Brewing when?
It's actually this Saturday.
It's this Saturday.
It's this Saturday. May the 4th be with you.
Okay, very nice.
For all the nerds out there.
See how you did that.
Thanks. Unintentional, but thanks.
Yeah.
It's Saturday at Faction Brewing from 12 to 5.
Okay. Tickets are on sale where?
At brewbies.org.
Okay.
The VIP's already sold out.
Oh, wow.
And there's only like a couple hundred tickets left.
Did the VIP get a free breast exam?
I'll be giving... Free breast exams all day.
If Claudia's not there, I will.
Yeah. I'd have paid extra for that shit. All right, VIP sold out, but general admission is still available.
It's still available.
Justin, I'll take care of you.
Thank you, Rod. Look at that creepy smile he has now.
It's not cheating if it's the same sex.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah, but again... The best detection method is kissing.
It's kissing. Still
it's
kissing.
Not, it's not getting a kiss.
Yeah. That's right. Can't beat these lips. That's right.
Is that the rule? All right. This Saturday.
It's this Saturday.
Brewbies.org.
Correct.
How much are tickets for GA?
They're $45.
Oh, that's a deal.
If you bring a couple canned food items, we're actually doing a food drive for the Alameda Food Bank. And you'll get to skip the line, so you get in first.
People. You're so much better than we are.
Do-gooders, man.
You are.
And then all of the proceeds from the ticket sales go to the Keep a Breast Foundation, which is breast cancer prevention and education.
Awesome. How many breweries this year, Roger? What do you think?
755 million.
In other words, he has no idea. Yeah. Mel, how many breweries are going to be there?
Like 50
Melanie's
plus.
In charge of the breweries.
Okay.
What's Roger in charge of, do you think?
What are you in charge of?
Being there.
He's there for like the vibe. He like sets the vibe for the day.
Oh God,
I'm angry and depressed and on edge.
I make sure the toilet's flush.
That is an important job.
Thank you.
That is an important job.
Aren't they porta potties though? Isn't just a hole?
JP, shut the fuck up. Big one spoken to, man.
He's good at his job.
Who's even talking to JP right now?
Nobody.
Yeah, exactly. So who brought you in?
Now you're talking to me. See, you're doing it.
Yeah, okay.
Have you ever been owned by facts and logic before, dude? Because you just got it.
Justin, I think you're talking.
I think so. That's fine. How many festivals do you have a year at Faction now? It seems like you guys have a lot of events.
Just two.
Just two. You have the Ales for ALS event, right?
Yes.
And then the Burbies event.
Yes.
You guys are such do-gooders. I like it.
Who else would shut down their brewery for an entire Saturday?
Right. Except Roger.
To let me bring a bunch of pink beer in.
Yeah.
No, but it's all about charities, man. It's all about like getting word out about like what is happening with what Mel is talking about.
Whatever she's talking about.
That's not all about.
Well, with her Keep Abreast Foundation, as well as what we're doing with the Ales for LS, which is totally different.
Here's the thing about Roger. I'm going to tell you something about yourself, Roger.
Jesus.
You ready for this?
You ready to learn something?
Is there any way to turn this thing off?
And I'm saying this because I have to explain it to people sometimes.
Because he's talking about you behind your back.
Roger's a really good guy. He's a fucking nice guy. But he comes off as such an asshole sometimes.
What do you mean?
That I sometimes have to explain to people like, oh, no, Roger's a fucking wonderful human being. You do these events for charity. You've helped me in my entire career at moments that I really needed the help. You're a very helpful, nice person. But you're
just
so gruff.
I'm wiping your ass when you need to doesn't mean that I'm helping.
No, listen, here. I'll tell you. Let me tell you a little story about Roger.
He's like sandpaper. He brought a bunch of beer and brought one in for himself.
Yeah.
He's a very nice,
young man. He comes across... Here, back in the day, when we had our FM show, a struggling show. I was a struggling artist.
How are things changed?
Good point.
The artist part.
And we needed sponsors, and Roger was working for Drake's Brewing at the time, and I needed a sponsor. Like, I needed a sponsor to keep on the air for, like, the next fucking week.
Yeah.
Roger, working for Drake's at the time, bought a sponsorship, I think it was like $600, out of his own goddamn pocket. He didn't even go like, Drake, because he knew that Drake's wasn't going to do shit at the time. This was honest, before John Martin.
No, this was actually after John Martin.
It was?
Triple Rock.
Was it Triple Rock that you did? And he just out of the kindness of his heart, like we were about to go off air, he's like, I got you. I'm sponsoring the fucking show. Right? You're a nice man.
But it wasn't sponsored by Roger Davis. It was sponsored by Triple Rock.
Yeah, but you paid for it, I think.
Yeah.
Out of your own pocket.
Yeah.
It didn't say, like, this is Roger Davis's show. It was like, it's Triple Rock. But you pay out of your own goddamn paycheck.
It doesn't matter, man.
I'm looking for sponsors for Rubies.
Right?
Listen here, you asshole. You got Faction fucking Brewing fucking opening their doors for you.
But this is my point, like, with the charity events and... But, right, he comes, he's a gruff guy, right? Like, you have to work with him now.
No, fuck off, man. It's not it
depends
that way.
It depends on what time of day you catch him, too. Right?
No, he's kind of always the same.
He's just always the same.
If you're looking at me and asking me that question, it's not the time of day you catch me. It's the way I am, man. And I do bend over backwards for my friends. And I will bend over backwards for anyone that matters to me.
I know you will. I love you, Roger. I'd want you to know that.
I think we all recognize
I want you to know that I have love for you.
Who are you?
Kiss. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Sean O'Sullivan just walked into the...
Oh, my God.
I thought I was coming on the show to talk about Spark Ale.
Oh, God. Did I mix up the dates, Sully?
Shit.
It's Roger. I thought you were next week, and this was... I might have messed that up.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
well,
no.
It's the gray hair club, then.
Yes, it is.
How you doing, brother?
Oh, my God. Sully, this is hilarious because we read an email at the beginning of the show.
We're having a moment.
By the way, fuck off for a second.
That sound you hear is them kissing, so...
The feedback email was about the two of you because it said it was a listener who had listened to like all of our shows and said, hey, some of the greatest BN moments were when Sully used to just pop in randomly. You should have him on more. And then he said the only thing that would make it better is if you got him and Roger in the studio at the same time. Which apparently...
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Dreams do come true.
Because
I got to go right now. Apparently my BART station's... or BART train is on its way.
It is a Christmas miracle.
Speaking of BART, normally if someone... came on the full train, a younger person of Warren's age would get up.
And let him sit down.
Yeah, but that didn't happen.
Hey, JP, Sully bought me a case of Sparkle Ale.
First of all, you have to pay for yours. It's a six-pack.
Second of all... You like... make
piss water with the alcohol?
You were talking about how you know he's a really nice guy, except he's an asshole. So that was like exactly what happens. He's excited to see me. Oh my god, I love you. And then
he says mean thing, right? This is why I have to convince people that he's a nice man.
You have to what did you do? Back and say he's really a nice guy.
Yeah.
He's okay. He doesn't hate you. It's just the Asperger's. Literally the Asperger's.
Right.
I'm so glad you hollowed out a turd and put your beer in it. Thank you very much.
The more shade he throws, the more he likes you. Yes. That's what it is. That's the deal. We'll get back to
don't worry,
that.
We'll
don't
get worry. Back to
we're breaking you down psychologically right now.
That's right.
Yeah.
This is an intervention. this is an intervention, Roger.
No, we're going to Betty Ford tomorrow. Yeah.
This is therapy. Uh-oh.
Tonight's the night.
This is therapy. Wow. Roger's like, hell no. You and me both,
dude,
buddy.
Put your arm down. You're sweating like a mother.
I'm waiting for my test. I thought Mel was going to come over here and let me know if I have breast cancer.
I'm going over there.
This is the position, right?
Get up there. Put your lips on it.
I'm on camera. I'm just trying to help people at home know what's up.
You have your hand on your head, but you should be laying down in a prone position.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
That's you remember from last time?
No, that just sounds super horny.
This is a different maneuver.
It's like this.
This is a totally different maneuver.
I mean,
yes, Mel?
So it's funny because I was just thinking about this when I came out here. Because the first time I was out here in Concord with Roger, we went out to like judge. Exactly, that happened too. But we came out here, it was years ago, and there was some sort of beer judging event going on next door at EJ Fair. It was a BJCP event.
Yeah.
And you and I were driving out here, and we're literally driving and driving. And I'd never really been out here before, and I don't think you had either. And it was like, remember the joke? It was like, are we in Nevada yet? Because it was just like endless. And now, of course, it's easy because you have the freeway here.
Thank you, yes.
Well, we passed the state line.
We did.
Right. It was funny. The tunnel back there.
Roger always makes fun of me for being out here because he doesn't go past like Alameda. Yeah. But you still live like Berkeley, Oakland? So Alameda, Oakland. Alameda,
no,
Oakland.
No, I don't live in Berkeley.
479 South 1st Street.
I live in Oakland.
You live in Danville now, don't you?
Over there, bitch.
You're a Danville resident now, aren't you?
Let's bring it back to you, Roger.
Now that you've made it.
I took a shit in Danville once. Didn't flush.
I'm sorry. Mel knew what was happening.
How do you know this joke?
Fucking hang out with you way too much.
Roger's like the dad joke without being a dad. Like crummy.
It's true. Yeah. Sully is a dad, and he doesn't even make dad jokes. Yeah.
Or maybe Roger's old enough now, he forgets to flush. It's just a thing.
It could be that.
I took your shit at Danville.
For me, it's the fly.
I love you,
Sully.
Dude, I'm fairly sure I took a shit in your beard one of these days.
Sully, is
and
your Sparkle cold?
I didn't flush it for you, out of respect.
Well, I think it might be. I can't flush.
I want one.
You want to try one?
Yeah, I want a Spark Ale in my glass, in my mouth. So,
and also, congratulations. Thanks. Finally joined the Can Club. That's welcome aboard.
Yeah, he brought a bunch in.
Did he?
Just not in.
He brought one.
Yeah.
That's right, cans.
Yeah.
See, Roger, this is how you make a PR move. You bring enough
that's cool.
For everybody.
There we go.
Listen here, you dick for.
Roger, Roger, let me see you set it up. What's a dick for?
There you go.
You got me again.
Oh, jeez.
Sully, it's nice to see you.
It's good
nice
to be here.
See you,
you know, we kind of talked about this before, and if you can't figure that out yet.
Who did?
So, this went from a faction talking thing to a fucking 21st Amendment tasting?
Sully,
21st Amendment.
Are you going to Brewbies?
I will be there, of course.
This
I'll be there.
Saturday.
I will definitely be there. I'm
just like you were at Springfest.
I'm going to be there. I'm in town. Mm-hmm. I will be here.
Mm-hmm. Bring your ID.
Tickets are on sale.
I think the 21A is going to be there. 21st Amendment.
Of course. Roger too.
No.
Mel,
but you've already sold out with your allotment of tickets.
21A is going to be. Are they one of the breweries pouring?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We got it.
She kind of said that like,
It was the last minute.
I'm going to say yes.
It was a mercy thing.
good call. Well done.
No, absolutely. 21A has been there actually like every year since we've been up here. So.
Okay, good.
You guys know this background with Roger and I? Not that thing that happened at camp.
Where did you first brew together?
Well, not so much we brewed together, but I was the officiant at Roger and Claudia's wedding.
That
was
that's
the first
right.
wedding I ever did.
How many have you done now?
That's freaking cute.
I've done, it was amazing. It was a great wedding. It was at Stinson Beach.
Wow.
Nice.
We were doing it on the beach, then we had to do it on a mountain, then we went back to the beach.
Roger, did you let him do his?
Chime in here.
Did you let him do his own thing, or like, did you guys dictate how?
Oh, hell no.
No, it was fun. I mean, there we definitely collaborated.
We basically
back
figured
and
out what, and I hope Claudia's not listening right now, but we basically
that means
did
she
it
is.
Yeah. The day of the wedding.
No, it was the
like,
day
all
before.
Right, we have to do this and we have to do that and blah, blah, blah.
So like, but Roger's so anal that he would like I would show him what I had written because he was curious what you know was
like,
going on.
Sucks,
and he
dude.
Would be like, "No, it wasn't. It was like you're missing a comma."
Oh my
like,
god!
And it's
yeah.
like, nobody's going to see the comma.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not reading the punctuation.
It's the pause.
It's all about the pause.
Yeah, commas are for pauses. Yeah,
Roger's got a little bit of beardy in him. Shit that doesn't matter, but a perfectionist. He's got to point it out.
Hey. How do you expect me to read it if you're not going to say it right?
Oh, my God.
How do you expect him to feel better about himself if he doesn't point it out?
Right, yeah. right. Roger, do you remember that you invited...
JP, shut the fuck up.
If I don't have pedantry, what do I have?
I haven't seen you in years, and now I know why.
Yeah, just digging in. Roger, you invited me to your wedding to be the bartender.
Was that bad?
Dude, that's the best way to go to a wedding because you make money and you get to party and hang out with
so,
everybody.
True that,
free.
And I totally would have fucking done it. I'm not above that shit, but I was out of town. But it was
no,
sweet.
Your
because
answer
you,
was
you,
great. You're like, I think I have something better to do.
Yeah, I was like, I have to wash my hair. Exactly. Thank you.
It turns out you didn't.
But
not yet.
In Roger fashion, he thought he was being sweet. It was like, oh, hey, I thought it'd be really great. Like, you could bartend.
Throw you a bone. Right.
I was broke. He had paid for that sponsorship. See? So he kind of knew things were in a bad way.
How did this get to be about me and what
memory lane?
My needs and wants are?
Like,
why is this a psychology thing?
Roger Davis, your third grade teacher.
Right. Oh my god.
We're talking about
I would love
rubies
that.
And
Bevo, write that down. Next
Roger
time Roger's in
paste.
Studio, I want you to get a hold of his third grade teacher.
Never had enough paste because Roger would eat it.
That'd be Mrs. I fucking have no clue.
Where did you grow up, Roger? We're gonna get to the bottom of all this.
At your mom's house.
It took 15 minutes, though.
Yeah. Really? What's his name?
You guys are brothers.
What was the over-under on that?
On your mom?
Yeah.
Your mom made me the man I am today.
Oh, my God.
I'm exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you glad you came?
Brubies.org, ladies and gentlemen. You can still get tickets. It's this Saturday.
I said good night.
Yeah. This will actually be the show. This is your entertainment. It's this right here. We'll be on stage making fun of Roger.
Mel, do you think you're going to come promote again next year, or is this going well? What do you think?
Am I allowed to?
Maybe. We'll still talk about that.
Okay. I'm thinking you guys need to have like a roast themed show because that would be. I don't. Fire. That would be insane.
Yeah.
I don't
know.
Like maybe you just
dude,
like
a roast,
have a series of roasts.
A roast
like
show
you can't.
Would be awesome.
It would be so fun.
Let's start with Sean tonight,
or else you get like too meat.
Yeah.
Do you think that? What if we did? I'm being serious. What if we did an event like where we did roasts? Do you think that brewers would show up? Like that they would have fun with that sort of thing? Like a Brewing Network event where it's literally, you know, we rent a little hall or something. And then so instead of
like a hallway,
instead of an awards ceremony, enough with the fucking awards already. Let's roast
Gives
each.
Shit.
Let's have some fun. Do you think brewers would care and show up?
You should do like an anti GABF or like an anti world next year's World Beer Cup, right?
There you go.
So
yeah,
you should just be like wherever it is. Just do like a cool event around
there. Yeah, but
just
they right. actually promote the.
Melanie.
Roger's like,
it's true. I am the official broadcast of both of those. But the point is still true.
We should actually remove awards from the brewery.
Yes.
Like, no,
we
go in
and went after the award show.
You could only be roasted if you're a loser. From the World Beer Cup
I see.
And you could participate in the roast.
In the
which
roast.
Which would happen the day after.
It should happen during. And Roger, you're my first. You're top of my list. Yeah, you're first. You're roasted first.
I don't know if I'm offended by this.
No, you should be proud.
Yeah.
You should be proud. I think the problem is by the time I get to like.
Is he the opener or is he the headliner?
Like,
you're first, is
time,
he,
right?
like, do you, like, build it up?
Now
to,
I'm offended.
Like...
Oh, that's a good, great question, Mel. Yeah, he's clearly not the headliner. I mean, he's the opener. Yeah. Otherwise, I wouldn't have them on first.
I'm sorry. Sick I think worm. I'm busy that day.
Like, you're how I'm testing the waters to see if anyone... By the time I get to Ken Grossman...
Still busy that day.
See, that's a tough roast to do, right? Yeah. Think about this. If this was a real thing, once you get to, like, legit people... Not that you're not legit, Roger. Forgive me. But how the fuck do you roast Ken Grossman?
I don't know if you
that
can.
That was me falling asleep during your speech right there.
I think shot. Like a security
yeah.
guy.
Yeah. Right. You just can't do it.
So just a quickie about Ken Grossman. Every time I see that guy, I lose my tongue.
You can't talk.
I'm just like...
Fanboy.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Train my beer.
Wow.
Shut the fuck up, JP. Have I lost my tongue around you?
If we had to roast Ken, we would need to get our material from Terrence. He has all of the dirt on
that's
Ken
true.
Grossman.
That's true.
I basically...
You fanboy.
I'm a fanboy. It's like... It's just insane because it's just... The guy is so respectful.
Right.
And just everything, like it's just like, I always go like, hey, Ken, come try my beer. And he's like, oh, Roger, yeah, I met you a couple years ago and you couldn't speak a word. Why would I follow you and drink your beer at my festival? And it's like, come on. Ken, come on. Then we get to my booth.
Yeah, Roger, open the sack. Let me out. I can't.
So let me know when you're done over there, JP.
I'm done.
Okay.
So it's kind of like the way you felt when I walked in just now, the way you reacted.
Let him know when you're done, Sean.
I'm done.
Teresa, do you have this same?
No, finally he gets to the booth and... all the beer was gone.
Oh, my God. No wonder he won't. No wonder he won't fall. I finally spoke full sentences.
Yes.
You, try beer now. Come.
And he's just like, hey, Roger, you're actually speaking true sentences.
Wow.
And it fucked up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've had that happen before. Not with Ken Grossman, but with people.
With Roger. Roger
Davis. Story. Oh, really good story, man.
Yeah. You're a fanboy. I always thought I wouldn't be, and then I was awestruck, and I
how can
I
anyone
up.
Not
wait,
be
who did you fan
to Ken Grossman?
Ryan?
Chris Robinson from the Black Crowes.
Okay. Yeah.
The singer from the Black Crowes. Big fan, and I got invited to, they had an after party. It was their final concert as the Black Crowes in
thank
San Francisco.
God.
And they had...
What did you say to them?
And they had an after party at Anchor Brewing Company. So knowing the people at Anchor, they invited me.
It's a big sellout. A lot of people.
So it's like kind of a private party, right? Like friends and family and then a few fans, right? And the guy walks into the room, and I'm like, I gotta go talk to him right now. Like, I can't even keep it
what
together.
Every rock star wants this. Yeah,
exactly. I can't even let the guy, like, get a fucking beer, right?
No.
And he's talking to some friend of his. Obviously, I just walk right up, and I just stumble all over myself. I'm like, Mr. Robinson, I just want to say thank you. I will fucking suck your dick right now.
Yeah. Boner in the pan.
Please let me touch your ball. Anything. Just let me. Okay. Thank you. Goodbye.
Do you have any hair down below?
I didn't say quite all that, but I stumbled off everything. The guy, the nice fucking guy that he is, gives me another chance. Like, I literally, he doesn't say a word back to me. I spit out all my things, and I finally just turn around and walk away. He doesn't even say anything, right? And
I'm you like, removed yourself.
And I'm
from
like, yeah,
situation.
And I'm like, okay, you're a fucking idiot.
I'm gonna go now.
Okay, yeah. I'm gonna go. Later on in the evening, two hours later, I'm standing in a small group of people, and Chris walks up and joins the group of people. And just stands there, clearly giving me another opportunity.
Literally wouldn't be best friend.
Yeah. Not like, interested in the group
what?
Conversation.
I'm going to go give that guy another opportunity.
Otherwise,
zippers undone.
Listen, Chris Robinson, the good guy, would do that.
I feel like
this guy make it up to me.
I feel like he felt like that guy probably just wanted to say hi and thanks and not all the fucking weird things he did. So I'm just going to go. Like, there was no other reason to join my group. I feel like
it was
so
an awkward situation.
So he comes and he stands there. And I completely ignore him. I can't even look at him. I don't say a word. I continue my conversation, and then I fall silent. And he's clearly standing there, like, just giving me an opportunity to just be like, hey, by the way, I really just meant to say it's all cool, and thank you for the music. And I couldn't. I understand.
You took your boner and went home.
Yes.
You could have given him, like, the side hug. too bad. He's just been like,
anything.
Oh, man.
Okay, and now here's my curse. I still love the band, and now every time a song comes on, which I listen to all the time, I have to relive this fucking moment in my head. Yeah, I have to go to therapy just for this, Sully, just to get this out of my
head.
That's the only thing? No. But I have one therapist just for that. The other, the rest of the team. Yeah, the rest of the team is for other things, you know.
So for me, let me tell you my quick story.
Okay.
It's quick. So this guy is partying in the Red Sea, and it's Moses, and I walked up to him.
Yes, because you were there. Yeah,
exactly.
Exactly. So, Roger stopped listening entirely.
Yeah. The fuck, Sean's talking?
Whose pills is this? It's great.
Oh. Dude, this pills is awesome. Did you can? Oh, this is our can.
Wow. Roger's getting to be the age where he's going to confuse, did you take your pills? Well, yeah, I had two already.
Yeah.
Fine.
I took them to the hot grenade and drank them both.
It's all right.
So wait, is that right? Because I was listening earlier. You did not bring any other beer and this is it? Just that one can?
That's yeah, we took up. One can up here.
Yep. We didn't really bring beer because we weren't.
Thinking of everybody else.
Well, we were coming to a beer bar.
Yeah.
Okay. Good call.
Good story.
That's a good point. You make a fine point there.
Yeah. Well, why bring sand to the beach? Apparently, you had a brewery before us.
Because if you know,
drink that.
Meanwhile, you yell at me every time you come here, and there's not faction in the cooler.
That's because you sell beer too, and you don't sell our beer.
Did you bring me any to sell? That's
negative.
Not true.
Negative.
That's not true.
Bag.
We had Faction Pale Ale on just this Friday because I took a bunch to go golfing, as a matter of fact.
How was your how's your golf game?
You know what? I golfed pretty well on Friday. I parred three holes.
Where'd you play?
Franklin Canyon. You want to go?
I'm in.
When's the last time?
He went golfing on Friday.
You did?
I went golfing Friday and the first time for before we opened the brewery.
Yeah, I haven't been in a couple years either.
The last time I played was with you at Chabot.
Yeah.
But
I remember.
Roger regularly wears dark socks. I would be worried about challenging him to a golf game.
Is that right? You think the dark socks give him the advantage?
I just played Chabot, and I parred the first two and then fucked everything else up.
Right. I golfed all right Friday.
Where'd you play?
Franklin Canyon, right here in Martinez.
Oh.
It's a good spot.
I took a shit one time in Martinez.
Wait, and then what happened? You forgot to flush.
No, another turd came out, and then I forgot to flush.
Oh, my God. Brewbies.org, ladies and gentlemen. You can get tickets.
Why are we changing the subject?
Went to Brewbies. Didn't flush.
It's this Saturday, May 4th, and 50-plus breweries.
Mm-hmm. We have to flush if we go.
Including the 21st Amendment. The weather
at
looks,
563 Second Street.
The weather looks great. I haven't memorized your new address. Your new address isn't as catchy, is it, in San Leandro?
It's like 2700 Williams Street.
Yeah, it's never going to have the same...
it's 2010 Williams Street in San Leandro, California.
Now that you guys are grown up.
9577. Yeah.
Down
as
the road.
Big as a city block.
From Walmart.
Okay, everyone shut up.
Brewbies.org. There you go. Sully, can I announce, can I make a special announcement about you that you and I have been talking about?
Is that, what are you talking about, that other thing or this thing?
The other thing.
Is he going,
okay.
He's going female?
No.
And there's nothing wrong with that,
there wouldn't
Roger.
Be nothing wrong
anybody
with that.
Anybody out there is doing that, it's fine.
The jacket dictates female.
Sully, I would not date you, male or female.
We are both
the same kind of crazy, and that just would not work out well together. Just want you to know that. We can't date. We can never date.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever thought about that.
I had an inkling. You looked me in the eyes once.
Just one time.
When I was talking to Chris Robinson, and I thought that was for me.
Right. We can't date.
Okay. That's fine.
So, along with Teresa, who is our... by the way, Teresa, our newest co-host, did a wonderful job tonight. For her very first time.
Her very first time.
You're a natural.
Yeah.
But what does she think?
Thanks
does she
for,
want to come
thanks
back?
Thanks for not roasting me in my first time here.
Yeah.
Well, we're not done yet.
We'll save that.
She's like, first like your hand last. That younger guy.
Wait till the first time you get screamed at by me on air. That's a proud moment.
All right.
You'll enjoy that.
You're just going to have to say to the hand, man.
Well, we're going to have a rotating co-host, and Sully is going to be another one of ours.
There you go.
All right.
Yes. So you're going to be hearing more from Sully just like you used to back on the session.
Back in the old days.
Well, because there's some changes happening around here.
That's so awesome.
As you know, Tasty Roger.
Hey, Roger. Remember, you're my friend. I can annul your wedding. I can annul your wedding at any time. I just have to make a call and it's done.
Sully's one of my favorite co-hosts of all time, and he's going to be in the rotation. He's a busy man, as is Teresa, also a busy man. so we're going to be alternating dates throughout the month, and you guys
are going
to come in and help
out. I'm excited.
It's
fun to be back. I missed the show.
It's been a while.
This is the only way I could get back on the show, but I was agreeing to the terms of being the co-host, but on occasion, so I'm excited to be here.
You're a great co-host, Sully. I'm looking forward to it, and I think it's going to we're just changing things up a little bit, try to add a little bit of new blood into the show. As you all know,
I'm over 50, right?
Right.
New old blood.
60.
Without Tasty here as often, I do think he's going to make some appearances, and I'll keep you all up to date on that. We just wanted a new co-host in here. Plus, Beardy might be moving. Cheers to Tasty for sure. All right, here, let's do that. Cheers. Make a clink sound to Tasty.
Cheers over there, the other side of the table.
He did say he's probably going to pop in for some podcasts, so we'll hear from him, I'm sure. Beardy might be moving, a little bit of change.
My whole world is being rocked right now.
I know, and that's why we've got Teresa and Sully coming on in here. So you will have Sully to speak in a female voice, though, because the listeners really want a female co-host.
Oh, they do they?
They do, yeah.
We want zero transition between me and you.
Yeah. Right.
I'll be growing the beard, it'll be awkward.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring Roger with me as my little sidekick.
Roger is
please do.
Roger's currently testing Sully for male breast cancer over and over and over.
Yeah, are we getting kicked out of here? How much time do we have?
I'm seeing if he has balls up north.
Let's talk about boobs.
Let's talk about boobs. All right. Are we going to do the whole, like, how to test again thing?
Yeah, why not?
All right. How does one test? And by the way, men can get this as well.
Yeah, men can get breast cancer, too.
It's just far less common, right?
It's less common.
I'm sorry, Mel.
Sully, come on.
I really did plan for you to have a wonderful segment with us.
Hey, I'm having fun.
Okay, good.
She almost convinced herself.
Men can get breast cancer, too. There's probably, 2,500 cases a year
Far less.
It's far less, but they're usually diagnosed at a higher stage because they don't think that they're going to get
cancer. You never check. Yeah.
You don't check necessarily. So, that being said, there's an app that you can download. It's free. It's called Check Yourself on Apple and Android.
Okay.
And it's Keep Abreast app. It's free. It's in 7 different languages.
Excellent.
And
what about the rest? Did fuck them or what?
Yeah.
They don't get breast cancer.
They're too poor to own phones. So
okay, I see.
Yeah. I was about to say something super racist.
You're on the right show.
More than JP?
Anyways, it shows you how to do a self-check, and then it also sends a monthly reminder when you should.
Okay. Is it check yourself or check yourself?
Check yourself.
Okay.
Proper English only, please.
Check yourself is a different app.
Right.
Yeah.
And then after you get it, you have to download the Wreck Yourself.
Right.
Yeah. But samesies, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Are we doing this?
Are we going to test?
But it's a group thing.
I'm looking at your app right now. By the way, there's a cartoon naked woman on it, which already has to be turned on.
Yeah, I might have to get,
There's naked boobs.
Oh my God, there's a naked
Bevo is downloading the app.
I just installed it.
Bevo's got it.
Okay. I'm downloading now, too.
Can we use Bevo as our model and learn to...
You sure as fuck cannot.
Bevo, it's for the health of women everywhere. You're so selfish. Roger's not selfish.
There's enough man boobs in there for you guys to figure it out.
I'm working on a B cup.
This is one time we can let the men lead the way.
Allow it.
The app has okay, what do I do? Tell me what to do.
So the first step is to look in the mirror.
Okay.
Right? It's called mirror. So you can just put your hands up above your head and you want to do
Let's use
visual.
Sean. Sean is gonna be
Sean looks great.
Look, he's already taken his jacket
off. He's
ready.
Yeah. Okay. So the visual, you're saying, sometimes you can visually see.
The whole point is,
contain your brewer.
The whole point is, knowledge is power, right? So, the more you know yourself, your balls, or your boobs.
Yeah.
The whatever, you're going to notice more changes.
Wait, understood. There we go. Okay.
You can get ball cancer?
Okay.
No, that's a rumor, dude. That's so a in wise tale.
That's fake news.
Yeah.
So I'm in the mirror, I'm looking, at, cool. and maybe I'll see something different.
Yeah. Okay. So like, lift your hands up, put your hands on your hips, just kind of check out your boobs.
Okay. All right.
Like,
all right.
What do you think?
Yep.
Love yourself, tell yourself you're pretty.
I do this every morning anyway. I just was never looking for anything.
You're like grateful for them.
Yeah.
I can't see my boobs.
Okay.
Keep it in the point. Mirror.
Yeah.
Wait, who said that?
I'm pretty sure that we actually like moved your beard aside last time.
That's right. Yeah.
Just shine the light on your chest. The reflection will show.
You have to like clip it to the top of your head.
There it is. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. What's next?
Behind the neck. You're gonna do like a little mini massage. So take your
Boy Scout. This is the Boy Scout.
Your Boy Scout finger.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. And then basically what you're going to do is you can put one of your hands above your head. You're going to start wherever you want. Yeah.
Is this where you pat your head and circle your stomach? Belly. That's what you do?
But you circle your boobs, not your belly.
Got it.
Okay.
So then just kind of like take your three fingers and you want to do like dime-sized circles up and down.
Up and down.
And all around.
Okay. Okay.
All up into your armpit.
Oh.
Oh, really?
That high?
Yeah. Because you have lymph nodes in your armpit.
Yeah. Well... Yeah.
Yeah, JB doesn't. They removed his.
Yeah.
JB's got another issue.
Why did they remove
it? No, they're in, not in my armpit, in my neck.
Oh.
Yeah.
Different. He had the cancer once.
I did.
Mm-hmm. He's a survivor. That's not true. The breast kind.
I'm a survivor.
The other kind.
I'm a work hard.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't feel anything. Am I winning?
Yes.
You have a hard nipple, though. I can see it through your
shirt. I know. I like
it's
myself.
Okay get,
I really like
it's
myself.
It's okay to get worked up when What's you guys are doing this.
You have a sweat issue, though.
Well, I mean, I sweat. Like, you sweat. People, you, freaking
he's wearing
hoodie,
a sweatshirt.
Hoodie man over here is wearing a sweatshirt.
Yeah. Sweat hard.
Anything else?
I think last but not least, you want to just squeeze your nipple.
Oh, really? Because it could be there?
Damn, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to see that. I bold that photo real fast.
Oh, yeah.
Bold it.
Yeah. It moves. It's fucking, it's a gift. It moves.
Is this part just for fun at the end?
Yeah.
It's like a reward.
It's a reward, right?
Yeah. Thanks for doing your chores.
This is the after dinner mint of breast examinations. I'm going to download this app.
I'm embarrassed by the erectileness of my nipple.
So yeah, it's basically just to recognize like your body, and then if you're doing it consistently once a month, then you'll notice if there's any changes.
Okay,
that's when you want to go see your doctor. Maybe if you do notice something different, you start taking notes. Like you're just more aware of what's going on within your body.
Okay. Because early detection, it's a very treatable disease,
very
right?
Very treatable as long as you catch it early. And so we always say, like, prevention is the cure and early detection is key.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. That's why I'm investing heavily in Theranos. So...
I don't know what that is.
No. It's, okay. Well, never mind.
I don't know what it is either.
It's that company that went bankrupt recently. Like,
the Fyre
like
Festival?
Last year. No, but they do like self-home testing for the...
So anyway, Faction Brewing is canning now.
I tried, man. I tried to be like super like...
What's happening?
In on the...
We have
I just watched
cans.
The documentary.
Cans.
Roger Davis is a nice
four
guy.
Four different beers and cans.
Oh my God!
The fuck's wrong with you, JP?
What do you want from me?
That's exactly what I want
right,
from you.
All right.
Yeah,
because that was the joke, right? They went bankrupt.
Took
they were
a shit word to
like home
and
testing.
Oh my God!
But she was lying. To
it's just going south, man.
You're too with it.
I'm just gonna
you're
just pour
too
myself.
I'm too knowledgeable. Well, reading The Economist is very.
That's what's getting you.
Yeah.
Was that the
it's
New Yorker?
Ruining you.
The new New Yorker. It's different. Yeah.
Is Spark Ale pink?
Sick little fuck.
Are you guys gonna be serving that at Brewies?
At your festival, Brewbies, this Saturday?
Yeah, have you heard of
May
it?
May 4th, yes. Yeah, I think we are serving that, actually.
Oh, there we go.
It's a sparkling rosé ale. It's a hybrid between a beer and a cider. And it's 5.5% alcohol, and there's cranberry juice and
I'm enjoying it.
And cherry in it, as long as apple.
Roger's seizing up right now.
Sean, you remember that one time that we used to talk about drinking beers?
Oh, my God.
You have to expand your horizon, Roger.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's what he said about canny one time a long time ago.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Meanwhile, Roger's making his steps
meanwhile,
for me.
Yeah. Roger's like, hey, have you heard of this new fucking thing I'm doing? I just put my beer in cans.
Yeah. There's like 7,000 breweries canning their beer now. Like Roger's the last one to the plate.
Welcome, Roger, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
Come by the tap room. I have 100 IPAs on.
That's the new thing I'm doing.
I'm sorry. Let me try that sparkle.
Sorry.
Sparkle.
oil.
Spark ale.
Oh, my bad.
It's in pain.
This is painful.
All right, brewbies.org to get your tickets. Also, download the app. Check yourself.
Sean, do you remember that time where you used to talk about making beers?
Oh, God.
I feel like we could do this all night.
We could.
Yeah. Well, it'd be the and same by the five way, jokes.
And we have before. If you go back in the archives, we have done this all night
before.
That's
true.
Yeah. That's happened. Yeah. This is our longest show in years.
I brought a case so we can actually have some beers when we talk about beer.
Some faction pills.
As we're ending the show, Roger decides to break into his own personal stash.
Right.
These are for the road home, but I mean, you guys can have some. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're leaving now? Oh, I'll just take them. But I look like the good guy.
I'm pounding my spark ale right now.
Yeah, you are.
It's not that bad.
It's good.
Wow. Honestly, I'm just really it doesn't have glitter.
It's not that bad.
Good point.
I'll send you a case, but then I'll take it back.
Glitter in it.
When Teresa,
I was worried it was going to have glitter, and I was not okay with it.
When she first heard the beer name, she was like, "Is it a glitter beer?
Is it a glitter beer? Because
it's spark ale.
Although once a year, you should make it a glitter beer once
you think
a year
for 4th of July.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Or for brewies,
brewies
special pack. Perfect.
Whenever you feel especially gay.
I don't know what
a specialty
you're talking
guy. A specialty guy.
Special guy. Yeah. Special guy.
Special guy.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Are we done, Mel?
Yeah, Mel.
Mel, let's
she's the one who decides. Mel, if
now,
you can stay focused on one thing, that'd be great.
You're the last one. You're the last hope for us.
Okay, everybody has to go around and just say one joke about Roger. Okay. We're done.
Oh, this is bullshit.
Even Roger?
And we're done here.
Okay, good night.
Roger's so fat. I don't know.
When he sits around the house.
I was on a love fest.
Everyone knows
Roger.
They're going to get cut off if they ever fucking make a joke about me right now.
You are Silver Fox, though. You know that, don't you?
He looks. I'm serious. He looks more like Charles Manson shaved his head. He's kind of gaunt, crazy looking.
But like JP, shut the fucking. If you're like into murder, like Charles Manson's like.
He's the dude, right? I'm not into murder so much as telling.
Mel likes the bad boys.
Dude, that's what I like.
I like a bad boy.
That guy could play a guitar.
I'm single and ready to mingle. I'm super into murder. So
oh man,
she's moving to Nashville though.
I stole a candy bar once when I was 7. Is that bad boy enough?
And then I murdered somebody for it.
Right. Yeah. And then I stabbed the clerk in the face with it.
I have his guts in my backpack right here. If you want to see them. Oh!
Also, I took a shit once in Danville.
Did you flush?
Did
it
flush?
Yeah. You
flushed!
You dumbass!
Okay, fine. I'm not a bad boy.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm willing to try.
But are you a bad girl?
I'm willing to have everyone make a joke of me.
I couldn't think of any.
I couldn't even.
Faction pills.
Hey, maybe we should put it in a can.
One.
Fucking dumbass.
This is how the roast is going to go.
Yeah.
So I actually have. I have a joke about you.
All right.
It's kind of super funny, so I hope I can deliver it.
Yes.
Okay, so once upon a time, I had a friend
once
who does...
Once upon a time. Well, so you're a two-year-old. Time,
yes. I have a friend who does a podcast, and he was trying to get in touch with you because you were scheduled to do the podcast, and he couldn't get a hold of you. And so he started
podcasts.
Well, he started calling around to Sacramento area brewers, and... So he called one guy, and he's like, I don't know that guy. He's an asshole. And he called somebody else. He's like, I don't know that guy. He's an asshole.
Yeah.
So, and then he called Ken from Device, and I was like, Ken has that number. He's like, yes, Ken has the number. Anyway, because...
Why was this so fucking funny?
Because
everyone thinks you're an asshole.
Yeah. Well, they're right.
No, because Ken was a,
I was trying to tell you.
Kindred spirit, and I was like, called it. I knew he was the one.
Ah, because Ken's missing link. Also an asshole.
The dude that came over and hung out with me for like.
And you guys had a great time.
3 hours. To find great time. He didn't pay for a fucking single beer, and he interviewed me.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we were hurting at the time. That'll be like $10? I need $10, bro.
You shouldn't be doing another podcast anyway, Roger. What are you thinking?
It's true.
That's what I said.
No.
I only do one podcast.
That's right.
And he only invites me over when Melanie comes around.
I know. Yeah. Well,
I basically just forced myself upon you guys anyway. So I was like, I want to come.
Yeah.
Like tonight. Right. So you'll make space for me, right?
We were like, okay.
Yeah. Fine. If we have to. I mean, no one really wants to, but. Yeah.
She's going to bring Roger. She's going to make her.
Had I known that.
Now, I think we should have
a month. You have to come.
Well, I think Roger's studio, whenever he comes for his guest appearances, should be next door.
Yeah, yeah. With no mic.
Yeah.
Just next door.
To sum up, I'm never invited here. And JP can always not come by faction.
But there's Zephyr on Saturday.
Zephyr on Saturday.
Yeah.
No.
No.
He doesn't even want your money on Saturday.
Well, it doesn't go to him. It goes to Bruben.
True.
What does he give a shit?
Oh, you're coming by on Saturday?
Sure.
Yeah, no.
There's gonna be a photo of you.
The only event that I actually want to go to now, suddenly I can't go.
Yeah.
JP, it's not your show, so just go ahead and fucking shut the fuck up.
All right. Do that.
So Sean's gonna tell a joke about me now.
Yes, Daddy.
Right.
I have one joke. Just one word joke.
It's your daddy, by the way.
One word joke. Gout.
Gout.
Oh, man.
Uh-oh. That's
not a joke.
Look out.
Gout is not a joke.
You know what I'm talking about.
Did you just find Roger's line?
I think I just found his next fundraiser.
Yeah.
I wouldn't wish that upon my worst enemy.
Oh, well, there you go, Warren. He wouldn't wish that upon you.
I can't wait.
Gout free.
I can't wait for the faction Gruitz for Gout Fest.
Quick story.
Gruitz for Gout?
That's a great marketing, isn't it?
Pretty good, right? Okay, so it rolls off the tongue really well.
Yeah.
So everybody who knows me, I just want to barf now.
I know.
Yeah, it's disgusting. So everybody knows, like... Everybody who knows Roger...
It's on your butt cheeks. You can just scrape it off.
And that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about butt cheeks right now.
It's called diarrhea, Roger.
Roger.
Oh, shit.
So when you go to an event with Roger, or even like when you're like going to the new Lagunitas Brewery in Chicago, and you're just getting a tour of the brew deck, and he will drop his pants. Roger will drop his pants at any time.
Not anymore. I'm a professional now.
Well, it was your calling card for a while. In fact, you were on stage winning a major award at the GABF.
Oh, shit.
And Claudia.
You almost turned. Claudia went like, nope.
I have that on video.
I think that was World Beer Cup last year.
Was it World Beer Cup?
Yeah, I have it on video.
It was.
And Charlie Papazian just looks over like, what the fuck is going on right now? What am I getting into?
Are they fighting on stage?
All right.
Oh my God.
Is the story behind that. I knew it was Charlie's last year of doing that. So it was just like, how do I freak him out a little bit?
How do I make it all
but
about
at the
me?
End of the day, just...
I wish she had let you do it. I would have loved it. But
no,
I'm
Claudia
juvenile.
Wasn't going to let me do it, and I wasn't going to do it. I'm not a complete dumbass.
Okay. We're your friends, you Roger.
Anyway, show them.
All right, I got to get us out of here.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a long show.
No, I'm not done yet. Just getting started over here.
Just getting ready. My
just
microphone's
shut everything
broken.
Down.
Just turn
we'll
it off
Roger
right now.
Leave Roger in here.
And just let him go? Actually, I'm happy to leave the microphone on for that. Action. We could just leave it on for
so,
Roger.
Anyways, I'm sitting there this one.
Right.
Secret show.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for having us on.
Thank you so much for being here. Go to brewbies.org right now and get your tickets. You can save yourself a little bit of cash and go support a wonderful cause. Mel, thanks for being here. I appreciate that.
Love you.
Yeah, and you. And Roger, you're my dude.
No, I'm not even here, man.
This is how Roger gets sad.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it.
Hashtag suck it.
Sully, I'm so happy to see your face in here. Thanks for crashing this party.
Thank you so much. It was exciting. Once I knew Roger was going to be on, I had to come down. So
I love
you, brother.
You had to.
No, it's just a moment. Just be nice. Just try it. Just try it once.
Just be nice.
Say I love you. Say I love you. Say I love you.
Say it.
There you go.
It's like teaching Helen Keller how to sign right now.
Yes, water. Yes. Yes, you can do it. Stay for us.
All right, we will be seeing and hearing more from Sully very soon.
She was retarded.
She sounded like a seal.
All right, give me one sec, real quick.
Shut the fuck up, bitch.
Go to NeshamonyCreekBrewing.com, one of our sponsors. You can go check them out. They've been brewing award-winning beers in Croydon, Pennsylvania since 2012. Proud winners of 4 Philly Beer Scene Magazine Awards for Brewer of the Year, and 3 for Brewer of the Year, and 3 for Brewery of the Year. 2-time GABF Vienna Style Metal Lager winner, and a few others, too. They got a big-ass tap room with 24 beers on tap, 18 of which are rotating and seasonal limited beers. Variety of beer styles from hoppy double IPAs to sessionable and poundable lagers, even and oak fermented saisons and sour beers. If you can't make it to Croydon, hit up their second location in Jenkintown called the Borough Brewhouse, which features a full menu and 22 beers on tap. Check out NeshamonyCreekBrewing.com. And by the way,
why were you making that gesture?
My boys in Neshaminy will love the addition to that also.
We have Twitter game.
They're hilarious.
You can't get out of here.
Yep. Okay. Fair enough. We're not done with sponsors yet either. Anyway, what was our Twitter game tonight? JP, it was very heady, I remember.
That's the way I am. I read The Economist. Now that the Mueller report is out, we know the full extent of Moscow's involvement in destabilizing the Sour Hour. Mm-hmm. How can we, the people, correct this travesty?
All right, what did we get?
We got some
interesting
cool
shit.
Yeah,
and
sure,
you thought
sure.
My game was bad last week.
I know. Well, it was.
It was. Yeah, it was pretty bad. Andrew Boozer said, only through a full hearing by the Lunch Meat Congress.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody?
Done.
All right. There you go. Richard says to make him drink his weight in hazy IPA.
Okay.
Daniel says they will form squads to round up all the soundboards and have a good old-fashioned soundboard burning.
Okay.
That was pretty funny.
Now we're getting there.
Matt says, what's the Sour Hour? Sounds terrible.
Is there any way you can say that without a lisp?
And then last but not, I'm the way God made me. Young man. You old fuck.
Who you calling young?
Brooks says, release the P-tape, hashtag Golden Sours.
Golden Sours. What a great beer name, by the way. Has anybody made a Golden Sours yet?
I'm sure.
Okay.
I don't even want to find out.
Is that it?
Yep, that's it.
Burn the soundboard. We got to go with that, right? That's the only way to save the Sour
Hour. Sure, there you go. Why not?
Burn the soundboard. All right, Mr. Burn the Soundboard, you are the winner of today's prize.
Why the
do you want to give away tickets to Broomies?
I don't know if they're...
They might not be in California.
Even cheaper.
Even better.
How about this?
Hashtag winning.
If they're in Northern California, we'll give them a couple tickets.
Yeah.
If not, they get the normal like bullshit t-shirt.
Sure.
And we send.
T-shirt.
We just have like a pile of faction shirts we just send out. That was my
Fuck
Roger
off.
Joke, Mel. That was my Roger joke.
I've been
joke.
Using those as toilet paper. Then what am I going to wipe my ass?
Okay.
JP, right. We're going to have a little problem later.
Yeah, you're going to get a boner?
In your ass.
As long as it's little.
Get it? Little problem? Yeah. I got it, JP.
Thank you.
That was a good
that.
One.
Wait, are you doing
small until
right
you taste it.
Yeah, well, I'm done with it now.
Oh, okay.
Do you want me to say something?
No, I don't have anything to say on Twitter. But if you guys want to like give away a pair of tickets or something, go for it.
Okay.
I can just put it out there.
How are you going to choose the winner?
How am I going to put my boner in fucking JP's ass?
Yeah.
Make him do it.
Just have people send me unsolicited tit pics.
The people got
to
know.
Unsolicited
tit
pics?
We've tried to do that on the show several times.
Wait, are we allowed to do that?
It doesn't work.
Okay, first of all, JP, you're fired. You're the new Twitter game maker of the Brewing Network.
You don't want me in charge of Twitter.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Do you know what it's actually called? I believe it's called Twitter.
Tweeter?
How the fuck do you know?
How do you know?
I don't know.
Roger, I saw it on TV once. Yeah. I don't know.
The Kardashians talk about it a lot.
No, what is it? The president mentioned it once?
Yes.
Okay.
I would love to give away tickets.
We should pre-plan this. Sorry about it.
We
call
in. Done that. Yeah.
I know.
Okay, here we go.
Everyone get us another beer and we'll talk. no longer.
First one to make JP laugh on Twitter will get two tickets.
Jesus.
So if you're in California and you want to tell JP a joke, first one to make JP laugh between now and Saturday gets, because it does sometimes
take a while. Thanks, Mel. Now I have work to do after the show. Appreciate that.
It's about time.
The two first person that tweets you should just be like, oh my god, that was fucking hilarious.
And then I'd be like, no, that's not true. Oh, fuck.
Damn it.
Now I don't know. Should I be mean to myself?
Real quick, if you want a little help with your branding, go to brandingbrews.com. The Branding Brews Podcast is a deep inside look at everything that revolves around branding and marketing a brewery. Go check them out. They interview industry professionals covering in-depth strategies and topics like labels, packaging, websites, social media content, trademarks, you name it. Go to brandingbrews.com and check it out. Okay, I think my work is done, JP.
Good, thank God.
Is your work? Are you ready for your work?
Sure, man, I guess.
All right.
Are any of us truly ready for anything, Justin?
I want to thank Bear Lick Brewing Company from Portland, Oregon for coming all the way down just to be in studio on the program. That was really very nice of them, and their beer is awesome. Go to bearlickbrewing.com and check it out. That's B-A-E-R-L-I-C, bearlickbrewing.com. They've got two locations, by the way, one in fucking southeast Portland, the other one in northeast Portland, and you can go check them out.
Yeah.
You can probably find Rick with a K on a fixie.
That's true.
Riding around.
That's true. In circles.
Delivering.
Hey, guys.
Yeah. Sending
hey, come
beer.
On. You want a beer?
Roger, thanks for coming out and joining us.
I guess.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, what?
Sully?
What Roger was trying to say right now, he's
thank
very
you.
Thankful for being on the show. Please come to no, Ruby's Saturday.
Sully's Roger's
thank
translator.
Thank you for translating.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
I'll wait for every douchebag to finish answering for me.
Do you guys remember when?
Thank you for having me.
When Key from I think it was Key from Key and Peele did the Obama translator, where
yeah.
whenever Obama
yeah.
was angry, yeah. he was in the back saying what he really meant. That Sully, that's what you are.
Yeah.
To, yeah.
Roger just said that he's enjoying his Pilsner right now. Yeah,
right.
Can.
It's what you are, except the opposite. Yeah. Roger's
the opposite,
actually
exactly.
the angry one.
Well, it's also the third time Roger's tried to drink out of an empty glass. So. He's just on autopilot. Well,
we got to go to break quick.
Someone fill this up.
JP, do you want to...
Sure.
Fix this?
Roger's dying of empty glass right now.
I need an Underberg. Let's do this.
Oh, Underberg?
God, no. Him and
Underbergs.
His Underbergs, too. They travel with them, these
yeah,
two.
Yeah, we sent Jason
these
next
two?
Door.
Did you really?
My wife and I, Claudia, I always travel with fucking Underbergs.
I know you do. It's weird.
Why is that weird?
Charge it to the Underbergs.
It's a weird
man.
Obsession, this
come
Underbergs.
On.
It's like traveling with your own dick. You know, it's just like it, you just have to have it instead God. Of someone else's.
What Roger's saying
is that
he's
what
talking
I
about
should
a toothbrush
do?
Right now.
I do that.
I don't understand why it's weird.
Well played, Mel.
It's a small issue that Roger travels with.
This is what true. Happens. I'm really just like a
so
nice...
So Claudia.
Nice person.
Uh-huh. Shut the fucking
yeah.
door.
Right.
Then I fucking hang out with this guy.
And what Roger's saying is he actually loves you very much. And he wishes you were his family.
We got Miss Innocent over here.
I'm just like, I mean, I'm like a 35-year-old girl. Like, what terrible things could I even do?
How is it even possible?
Just like a nice yeah. person.
I'm like a 35-year-old girl.
You are. Yeah. And you do terrible things.
I do. Just
that's like about the time I went to jail.
Oh, my God. We're leaving.
We have to go.
Teresa, thank you so much for being here. Your audition went very well.
My yeah. pleasure.
I'll send you a complete list of notes okay. this week.
Looking forward
didn't
to my
realize
evaluation.
This is the... Yeah. So this is
I know.
Run.
It was,
I we had
it
to
was
go.
Like yeah. the longest on the job interview ever.
Yeah. Working or yeah, working audition.
And
yeah.
you had to sit next to Roger.
And I... Yeah, I...
Yeah, that's a plus.
I don't know.
Are you going all the way back to Auburn tonight?
I don't think it smells
bad. We'll see.
Now that we've
you didn't maybe. Punch or cry, so like, I think you're good.
Right.
No, yeah, no tears.
Like, you're sitting next to Roger, and you didn't hit him. You're
why?
Good.
Why is
I
it kinda, always, like, sitting next
my
to
hand.
Me?
I kind of get, like, a little...
What the fuck does that matter?
Have you sat next to yourself before?
I mean, I haven't shit myself yet.
Yet.
Beardy.
Not yet.
We're not in Danville.
Beardy, do you think we have to take Teresa to Vinny's as part of her initiation and as a new co-host?
It only makes sense.
Oh, my God.
I mean, is that a strip club?
It's close enough. It's just a dingy bar.
I'm fairly certain that I actually might have just shit myself.
If strippers were like guys with big, giant beards, I think it totally would be a strip club. Hmm.
Vinny's is kind of like that, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Justin's took my shirt off there before.
Yeah. That's true. And checked him for breast cancer.
Well, that's what you got to do that, of course.
Thank you guys for being such responsible humans.
It was a public service. Yeah. You're welcome.
Love that. Yeah. Love that about you.
Yeah, yeah. We try to help. We try to help.
Here to just make change in the world.
All right, Bevo, whatever you did, good job.
She's like, I cut you guys off like 30 minutes ago.
Yeah.
You've been talking to yourself.
Okay, JP, you going to get us out here?
Sure,
thanks, buddy. All right, next week, Solid Ground Brewing is on the program with us. Don't forget about Brewbies coming this Saturday. Go to brewbies.org and get your tickets. Or if you're all the way out in northern Colorado, come to the Hop Grenade in Fort Collins because we're doing our first ever Colorado Beer Derby event. All you can drink and eat for $45. It'll be a good time.
Beer derby where everyone
Plus,
just falls
I'll
on
be there. That's a good idea. Maybe I'll switch it up to that next year if this one doesn't work. All right. I'm out of here. JP, thanks and do your thing.
Whatever.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Bear Lake Brewing.
Thank you to our show sponsor, More Beer. You can get absolutely everything you need to make great beer at home by going to morebeer.com. A big sleeveless thanks to Bear Lake Brewing, who came down from Portland in the state of oppression to share some beer with us. Learn more about them over at bearlakebrewing.com. This Saturday at Faction Brewing in Alameda, which nobody probably goes to, is Brewbies Fest. So go to brewbies.org to buy tickets and go to that great fest. Merge your love of Disneyland with your lack of engaging podcast. And go to earsuppodcast.com as JP, Terrence, Bevo, and Taryn talk about all things Disneyland. Get on Twitter for some good beer insight and homebrew info. Follow Nate Smith and Nathan Homebrew, Mike McDowell at Tasty McD. Warren is stuck over at Another Beardy. JP knows Twitter is dead, so he's on Instagram at Major Jip, and you can find Bevo there as well as at Beverly M. Moore. Be sure to find the Brewing Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
JP's an asshole. Justin's a nice guy and win.